The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday. It is February 27th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, court documents show that the women who are now charged with five counts of murder told investigators the entire family was contemplating and talking about suicide before all of this happened. They were going through something religiously, and they decided to drag the kids into it, said Destiny Harris, a half-sister of the victims. It's totally unbelievable and not understandable, said Latasha Harris, Destiny's mother. Inside an apartment on West Bridge Street, Marsville police discovered the bodies of 9-year-old twins Imani and Erica, as well as their mom, 42-year-old Jamila Campbell. They also found 13-year-old Damon Decree and his sister, 25-year-old Naira Smith, dead. They all are children. They are all children of 45-year-old Shayna Decree, who is charged with murdering all five of them, including the sister and the nieces. 19-year-old Dominique Decree is also charged in killing her family members. Now, Damon Decree Sr., who was in North Carolina, is the ex-husband and father of the accused. His 13-year-old son was murdered. He said apparently they had got into some type of cult that they materialized online. I don't know how or what kind of cult. They were talking about demons being all around them. Destiny Harris is the half-sister of the youngest victim, and she said that when I heard that there was something going on over there, I just had a gut feeling. They were nine. They didn't deserve this. The twins were set to celebrate their 10th birthday on Friday. Damon Decree said he wants his wife and daughter held accountable for the crime. I don't want them in an insane asylum. I want to see them go to jail for the rest of their lives, he said.
Yeah, I'd read that family services had been called at some point because of these, I guess, claims that they were making, or they were making scary statements about suicide and so on. But
yeah, so Bucks County Children and Youth were involved with the family, okay. And the father, it was kind of just like a brief comment, but he said we've been calling Children's Services, so they were involved with the family, okay. And they went over. They'll sometimes just make like a random check or whatever. Yeah. And they went over. Nobody answered, and then I guess they went either later that day or the next day, and that's when they got somebody who worked, a maintenance worker who worked in the building, to open the door.
Well, one of the officers who responded, or somebody disseminated this information that a couple of the kids had been strangled.
Yeah. A couple of them, that's how they died. They were strangled. They went into detail. There's detail about how, I guess, they admitted to it. Now, both of their stories are differing a little bit on who killed who, but they basically admitted to it. They said that they strangled a couple of them, and a mother and daughter. Absolutely awful.
Incomprehensible.
Yeah, police have not yet released the official motive of the murders. Police have arrested a 37-year-old city worker in connection with multiple sexual assault cases in South Philadelphia. He has been identified as Safian Williams of Point Breeze. He's a streets department worker. Williams is charged with multiple sexual assaults that occurred between December and February. Police say they have DNA evidence from a number of crimes that that were committed. They are now checking with forensic science to see if it matches the suspect. Police say after the video image was released, there was a wave of citizen tips over the weekend, which led them to make the arrest. Police had been searching for a man they believed to be connected to at least 9 sexual assault incidents in South Philadelphia dating back to last December. The person of interest was arrested at his Point Breeze home that he shares with his mother about 12 miles from the most recent attack. Police also recovered some clothing they believe was used during the assaults, his cell phone, and 2 doors away in an abandoned property, they recovered the bike that matched the description of the bike used during the crimes. Police say Williams had been in trouble with the law, but he was not involved in any sex crimes. He is a laborer in the streets department, but there is no evidence his job played a role in the alleged crimes. Police believe that there may be additional victims, and there's an appeal for them to speak up regardless of immigration status. So my guess is that they're thinking that at least one victim was not here legally in the country. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross says, if you're not a resident of this country, don't worry about that. You're a victim. If you're a victim, come forward. We have reason to believe that there is some instances he may have preyed on people like this, whether it was intentional or unintentional. So they want them to come forward because they're saying you are a victim, so come forward and they'll take care of you. Pennsylvania is about to start issuing federal Real ID compliant driver's licenses. The State Department of Transportation plans to reissue the so-called Real IDs starting on Friday. The IDs will allow people to board commercial airlines and enter certain secure federal facilities when federal Real ID standards take effect in Pennsylvania in October of 2020.
Kathy, the Elite card will get you in the cockpit.
Yeah. I got the card.
Really?
It says Real ID on it. I got it a few months ago, and I'm like,
it really is.
What is this?
On the back. It really is.
Yeah. So I can't believe this is still happening. We talked about this a couple of years ago.
Oh, it's happening already in some other states. We're ours just doesn't go into effect until 2020.
Your driver's license is not a valid form of ID to fly.
Right.
Yeah, why not just change it? Just change.
You can.
No, I know, but like, I don't know why there was.
I don't know this. I'm just talking right out of my ass. It sounds like a money thing.
It is. It has something to do with that. I remember we talked about this a while back, and we were like, it was in order for the state to save money somehow or another, and I forgot how it works out, but I remember shaking my head about it.
For the state, but they're issuing other ones. But isn't it going to cost them more money to issue it?
Are you paying a fee for them?
I don't know.
Right.
Should have brought my card in this morning.
You're the
only one with the card.
Yeah. So you have a card and a driver's license?
No. Yeah. So I got the card in the mail to go get this ID. Like, you know, as if you were to get, if you had to reissue your license or something like that. So I have that.
My guess is there's a fee, right, at the time of.
I don't know.
Maybe. All right.
Probably.
So, but you're going to have two different types of IDs.
In addition to your.
No. You can use this. So this will be your ID. You don't have to get this ID. If you want to just drive and you don't want this ID, you don't have to get it.
But if I want to get on a plane.
I can use my ID.
To fly.
Yeah, I can use this ID for my driver's license as well, though. So I can just have one ID.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. So they're kind of fixing the problem. All right, now I'm really confused. Continue.
I'm totally confused, yeah.
The real IDs are optional and aren't necessary to legally drive. A man bought $540 worth of Girl Scout cookies. A man has gone viral for buying this to get some of the kids out of the cold. Girl Scout Troop 1574 were selling cookies outside of Greenville, South Carolina, when a man bought 7 boxes of cookies for $40. Moments later, the man returned and bought up all of the cookies so that the girls didn't have to stay out in the cold any longer.
Now, I gave you this story until I saw the follow-up a little later on this morning.
Oh, no.
He's a drug dealer. And was arrested.
Really?
No, yeah. He was. He bought all the and they, what a wonderful man, but he's like a meth dealer.
I saw
the headline. I haven't read the full details yet, but yeah, he still did a good thing.
It's still inspiring.
Yeah. Let's focus on the cookies.
Yes. Yeah. Not fueling the junkies in the immediate area.
Maybe the cookie thing was the one thing that turned him around. Maybe he went home and got rid of his entire stash.
I don't know. Maybe the people that bought from him got a free box of cookies.
There you go.
See, there can be positives.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers beat the Buffalo Sabres 5-2 last night in South Philly. James Van Riemsdyk and Claude Drew all scored to keep the Flyers' postseason hopes alive. The team is 14-3-1 overall. They're past 18 games, but are still 7 points out of the final Eastern Conference playoff spot. There are 19 games left in the regular season, and the Flyers need teams ahead of them, like the Penguins, Carolina, and Montreal, to struggle down the stretch. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with a game against another team they're chasing in the playoff standings, the Columbus Blue Jackets. On Tuesday, the Sixers gave updates on both Joel Embiid and Boban Marjanovic. Embiid, who has been out since the All-Star break with left knee soreness, won't play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The team is expected to provide an update on Embiid before Saturday's game against Golden State. The good news is that an MRI on Boban's right knee came back negative. He will also miss Thursday's game, but will be reevaluated for a bone bruise and mild knee sprain in 5 to 7 days. Tip-off in Oklahoma City tomorrow night is set for 8 o'clock. And in Clearwater, spring training will continue this afternoon with a full squad matchup scheduled for a home game against the Twins. Yesterday's game in Tampa against the Yankees was canceled because of rain, but today's forecast in Clearwater calls for mostly sunny and a high of 75 degrees. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So we're set to go on a Wednesday morning. A bunch of things that are happening. We go live on Fox Good Day today, so we'll see what Mike and Alex are getting into. We have a secret text word. We do that on Wednesdays. Chance for you to win some tickets to see Villanova. They're playing Butler Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. So you can do that now. We're up and ready to go. So text the word secret to 39333, and we're going to send this word back to you later on. We'll get a call in with that word. The designated caller wins the tickets, and we'll also grab a random texter. So a couple of different ways to win. You can get tickets at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com, by the way. So go ahead. Text secret to 39333.
We have an announcement to make on the program today concerning us and a broadcast, and we'll get those details for you at some point during the program. We also have a couple of guests joining us. We will have Matt Fries, and I got to make sure I figure out the proper way to pronounce Fafa's name. Is it Fafa Picault?
I think it's Picault.
Picault.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a cool name.
P-I-C-A-U-L-T. So like a Renault car.
Yes.
I remember it was spelled Renault.
Fafa Picault.
So Fafa Picault.
Picault.
Of the Philadelphia Union. They will be stopping by because their home opener is on Saturday. They're playing Toronto. Yeah, I know. Already.
It's that time.
It is. We're getting ready to go, man. Outdoor sports. It's happening again. So we'll have those guys stopping by, and we're just getting ready because we are we're 2 days away, two more days away from the Cardboard Classic.
Yeah.
We got to get through today, and then tomorrow we'll head up tomorrow evening and get set and settled in Jack Frost, check out the location, and be ready to turn it on Friday morning.
Everything's looking good, like, you know, slightly cloudy for the morning. 35 degrees will be the high, so it'll be cooler. The snow should be solid for all the sleds. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
It's looking good.
Snow today, Steve. Actually, they're going to get some fresh powder today.
Powder. So it's exciting. We're hoping to see you there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I have a whole stack of entertainment stories I want to run by you, as well as a stupid question, do some giveaways. Stay put. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st, for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do a stupid question this morning and give away some tickets to see The Lonely Island. They're going to be performing June 19th at the Met in Philadelphia. It's a ways off, but tickets go on sale Friday, by the way, at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. There is a pre-sale, by the way, on the concert calendar page at WMMR.com. So, question I have for you, continuing with Black History Month.
Yes.
We'll go with a famous black comedic actor out of Philadelphia. Mr. Kevin Hart was in the movie Central Intelligence. What was Calvin Joyner's nickname in high school in that movie? 215-263-WMMR. So what was Calvin Joyner's nickname in high school? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now. Today is Wednesday. It is February 27th. We have some birthdays to rattle off while we are awaiting your answer to the stupid question. And we'll begin with the world of heavy metal and Iron Maiden. Guitarist Adrian Smith celebrates his birthday today. Yep. He is 62 years old today.
I always respected Iron Maiden. Wouldn't say I was a huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked them. But at the time, they were the heaviest band.
What are you listening to?
Exactly. It seems so.
What is this?
Over the top. Heavy. And listen to it now.
Right. I know.
I mean,
it's honestly, you're almost like Ghost has hybrid levels of this in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that seems light.
Sure.
You know, now, comparatively to some of the stuff. You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. So, Adrian is. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stay on this. You should have been in that.
Yeah,
band.
I know. Could do a documentary. He was the best hugger in the business.
Adrian is 62 today. One of my all-time favorite guitarists celebrates his birthday today, Mr. Neil Sean of Journey. He is 65 years old today.
I would agree. Yeah. Through his various bands and iterations. And he played with Santana, yes?
When he was 15
years
old.
Yeah.
And so he was that much of a talent. And then he went on after Journey. There was, you remember Bad English, that band. And he's done some other projects as well. But the thing that is so special about Neil Sean is he can write great riffs. He's an amazing solo guitarist, and he is a perfect combination of being able to shred, being able to play really, really fast, but also playing really beautiful melodies that almost sound like the guitar is singing. So he can be very bluesy. He can be very. He can be metal when he wants to.
He has tasty solos.
Very tasty. Exactly. I hear he's a little difficult to work with.
I've heard that, too.
Never met him myself, but he's great, and he knows he's great. He's one of those type of people, so 65 years old today. But listen to this.
Love it.
So, happy birthday, Neil Sean. For Nick this morning, your buddy Howard Hessman celebrates
if
his birthday.
You've ever wondered... This is on MeTV all the time.
Is it?
Yeah, WKRP.
Do you watch it occasionally?
Brilliantly captures the world of radio.
Really?
No one ever uses headphones.
I know.
They're somewhere in the room with the microphone.
Yeah. But Howard Hessman, who played Dr. Johnny Fever, 79 years old today. Mm. Mm-hmm. Joanne Woodward, the actress.
Legend.
Yeah, she was actually, you know, married to Paul Newman.
To be honest, I'm sorry. She's still alive.
She is okay. 85. Or, okay. I'm sorry, no, 89. She's 89 years old.
Yeah. Wow. So an incredible actress. She was in a movie where I first saw her and became aware of her capabilities, a movie called The Three Faces of Eve. It was one of the first, maybe the first, you know, split personality movies.
Mm-hmm.
But excellent.
And she, you remember she was in Philadelphia as well. She played the mother.
So good.
Oh, that scene when they're saying goodbye to her.
Yeah,
jeez, just heartbreaking.
Paul Newman has that quote about her where a reporter once asked him about cheating or, you know, philandering or, you know, seeing other women. And he would say, why would I... go out for hamburgers when I have steak at home.
Nice. Joanne Woodward.
You can still bang some hot dogs, though.
He added that part later. Really ruined the romance.
I mean, actually, I would take a hamburger over a steak any day. Hamburgers are good, man.
No, she's awesome. They had a great long marriage and love affair. So.
She's 89. Ralph Nader, the consumer advocate, is 85 years old today. He's the guy that put down the Corvair, right?
Unsafe at any speed. Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because I remember I was on South Street one day and I was walking by and I saw this car and I'm like, wow, that is a really cool looking classic car. And I went back to double check and I'm like, that's a freaking Corvair.
By the way.
They were cool looking cars.
They were cool looking cars.
Yeah.
There were issues. I don't know. You know, they used to have things where, you know, the cars would have these big hood ornaments, you know, these big pointy hood ornaments.
Sure.
And that represented an issue, obviously, if you were to get hit or whatever. There were all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Some of them were pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
But it helped revolutionize the car industry and make cars overall safer, even though Corvairs themselves weren't necessarily the most unsafe cars on the road.
They were just sort of the object of...
Yeah. My mom had one, Steve, and she had the one with the spoon shift on the steering column.
So awesome.
She loved that
car. My friend's mother, I guess it was a good car for mothers, had a Corvair too, and it had that cool shifting system, you know?
Yep. So he is 85 today. Chelsea Clinton is celebrating her 39th birthday today.
I wonder if she'll ever run for anything.
Bill and Hillary's daughter.
They keep saying that she's being groomed for that.
I hope she doesn't.
She's not, is she really even doing anything?
No. And if you do, why would you? What's her career?
I mean, she's a journalist. She worked for ABC for a little bit. She was a street mime for a while. That wasn't paying the bills.
She's actually part of this Clinton, the Global Clinton Foundation, that whole thing.
I can't ever see her running for office. She just doesn't. She doesn't speak well. I hear me
like
trying
Sanders.
To spit words out right
yeah.
now.
She doesn't speak so good.
She doesn't talk good,
she's
guys.
Right. She don't talk so good.
It's all right. You're not saying you're a better option.
But you're not running for office. Right. There you go.
But we need a president or somebody who can talk gooder than everybody else.
Right. You know. Come on. So
who knows? Maybe someday.
39 today. And the last birthday, wow, do I have a thing for this gal, Kate Mara.
Oh, yes.
Every time I see her, I'm like, she is very, very beautiful. I was just watching The Martian for the 50th time the other day, and she's in that as well as Brokeback Mountain and We Are Marshall and Shooter and American Horror Story and all that stuff.
She has a girl next door quality to her, but if you ever see her sexified up, dear Lord.
Hey, what is her money connection, Nick? Big
money?
The
Rooney Mara family is the owners of the Giants, New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
So Art Rooney was the patriarch for the Steelers. And
her brother was Mickey Rooney.
And Mickey Rooney was in there. No, Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes.
Yes, was her sister.
So up the family tree on two different sides are NFL owners who are both billionaires.
It's a good look, isn't it, Preston?
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's 36 years old.
And she's from Black Mountain.
Good actress, too. Yeah. All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What was Calvin Joyner's nickname in high school? This is from the movie Central Intelligence. 215-263-WMMR is the number, and it is Tina that's going to get a shot at it. Hi, Tina.
Hey, you guys rock.
Hey, Tina. So tell me, what was Calvin Joyner's nickname in high school?
Golden Jet.
The Golden Jet. You are correct. Hang on. We are going to take care of you, Tina, with a pair of tickets to see The Lonely Island Wednesday, June 19th at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com and the pre-sale and complete details on the concert calendar page at WMMR.com.
We also had Ike Barinholtz in the studio a couple of times. He wrote that movie.
That's right. Really? I got to imagine there's going to be a sequel to that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, because, you know,
him they pair well.
The World of a Spy. Yeah, and they do pair well, and they're in Jumanji together. Yeah. So I think they're the next
you Hope know, and Crosby.
Team that you're going to see. Hope and Crosby. There it is. So we're going to start with Selma Blair. She's speaking out about her multiple sclerosis diagnosis for the first time in an interview with Robin Roberts on ABC's Good Morning America. We've got some clips that we're going to play here. The actress who revealed her diagnosis in October of last year also recently appeared at the Oscars with a cane on Sunday. We talked about that yesterday. Many saluted her elegant embrace of MS and unpredictable and complex. It's an unpredictable and complex disease that attacks the nervous system. In the interview, her voice quakes, and she explains that she is currently experiencing spasmodic dysphonia, which is a neurological disorder, and it affects her voice and is a side effect of MS. Let's play a couple of clips. This is her talking about wanting to hear what she sounds like. So here we go.
How are you doing?
I am doing very well. I am very happy to see you being able to just put out what being in the middle of an aggressive form of multiple sclerosis is like.
Wow.
When I was watching the video, I started to tear up because, you know, I've always really enjoyed her. I loved her in the Hellboy movies and a whole bunch of other stuff. But it was to me, it seemed very, you know, people throw around that courageous thing a lot, or, you know, and she's sitting there and she really wanted to just kind of put a face on what the disease can do. And I thought that was, and what she was saying, her attitude was so positive, and clearly she's dealing with a lot on her plate right now.
Absolutely. And it's got to be very, very, very frustrating to try to communicate, and you're doing an interview on a national broadcast television show like that.
I think of Michael J. Fox with the Parkinson's, and when he's had interviews and having to deal with that, it's a Herculean chore.
Here's her talking about telling her son about the diagnosis. Here we go.
He almost cried and said, "Will it kill you?" And I said, "No, I mean, we never know what kills us, Arthur. But this is not the doctor telling me I'm dying."
Then we have another clip talking about she wants to speak during when these flare-ups.
So, but MS isn't fatal?
Life-threatening? I think it can shorten your life.
So Montel has MS, yes?
Yeah.
And he's doing very well on it.
You've got to stay on top of treatments and things like that. You can live with it, but it is, you know, it's a good question, Kath. I can't speak to on authority of that. We have a friend who is going through MS now, and she's hitting some hard times, and it's very, very difficult.
Similar to what we're hearing now?
Not in the speech. Okay. She's not having that, but in being able to walk and now has to use a cane and things like that, and it's progressing, and I haven't done enough research on it to see what level it can get to. Nick's looking up that information right now.
So it shortens your life expectancy by 5 to 10 years, but it's not fatal in and of itself.
Okay.
Yeah. It makes life more difficult. You need assistance, you know, no question. This is her talking about wanting to speak when she has these flare-ups.
I was a little scared of talking. And even my neurologist said, no, this will bring a lot of awareness because no one has the energy to talk when they're in a flare-up.
Oh, goodness.
That is so sad.
I know. Ugh. And listen, I have these muscle twitches. They're called benign fasciculations that I have. They're all over my body, and they still happen all the time. I've just gotten used to them.
Yeah.
I could see how this would happen with your throat.
Vocal cords,
with your muscles.
Yeah.
And it just happens, and you just have to,
you know, you just do what you can. So while being diagnosed with a chronic disease might be terrifying, Blair admits that she was also relieved. She said, I had tears. They weren't tears of panic. They were tears of knowing that I now had to give in to a body that had loss of control, and there was some relief in that, she said. She has 1 7-year-old named Arthur, I'm sorry, and admits that before being diagnosed, she did everything she could to seem normal, including self-medicating. In 2016, we talked about this the other day, Steve.
Yes.
Remember, she was removed from a plane on a stretcher. She later said it was because she got drunk. She said, I dropped my son off at school a mile away, and she's recounting this. Before I got home, I had to pull over and take a nap. It was killing me. And so when I got the diagnosis, I cried with relief, actually, because she thought it was, you know, maybe it was something was wrong besides that. Maybe something worse.
You don't
than
know.
That.
And listen, you know, for a lot of times these things we you're talking about with your twitches and stuff, you know, you were. It scares the hell out of you.
You
just want a diagnosis. You want a direction. You want something
to
know what's going on.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, I don't know what her prognosis is. I don't know if she spoke about that. I didn't see the entire interview.
Yeah, I just saw a clip, the clip that we're showing now in the studio, the video of her on GMA. She looks fantastic.
She looks phenomenal, actually. So, you know, so she's hanging in there. DJ Khaled will host Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards. This is coming up on March 23rd. We're not done with the
I knew it. I said yesterday after the Oscars, I knew we had a few more. Now, the Kids' Choice, that's my jam.
That's your jam?
Yeah.
So Khaled's just a DJ, right? He's not like an MC, right?
He is a DJ and a producer. Let me ask you something. Right. How is it pronounced, Casey?
Khaled.
Because that's what I say, and somebody told me it was Khalid. I'm like, I've heard it said Khaled.
There's another artist. There's an artist named Khalid.
Khalid. Okay.
God damn it.
No, this is Khaled. I actually, just to double check, I pulled up a pronunciation of it this morning because I've heard otherwise as well. So
then who's Khaled. DJ Khalid?
I don't know.
It's just Khalid.
It's just Khalid, not DJ Khalid. So Khalid is probably an MC and DJ Khaled is a DJ.
Whatever happened to Benny Goodman?
Right.
Yeah. So he his participation as host was revealed along with this year's nominees by Double Dare host Liza Koshy during a first-time live stream nomination announcement for the annual award show. Avengers Infinity War leads pack 10 nominations, followed by Black Panther with five, and Cardi B and Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation tied with 4 each.
So I was at a hotel in Santa Monica at the time when the Kids' Choice Awards were taking place. And I believe they were either all the people were staying at the hotel that I was at, or there were the awards were taking place at a venue very close to the hotel. It was like being on another planet.
Didn't you see Salma Hayek?
I saw Salma Hayek that trip. Yeah.
Nice. So host Khaled, a panelist on Fox's The Four. I didn't even know that show was still on. scored 3 nominations in the awards competition, which determines winners by fan vote. We also have Jason Momoa of Aquaman is a first-time nominee. Centennial? I don't know. BB Rexha, Tyra Banks, and Riverdale.
Yes. Now you're talking.
The show is getting creative with categories again with some new offerings. Favorite TV host, favorite TV judges, favorite superhero. That's great. And favorite gamers.
Mm.
So gamers
there you go.
Are getting nominated now. A new category, how do you want to help? Is designed to let kids decide how they want to help the world. Khaled joined on Tuesday's announcement saying, Father of Assad is here to let you know the biggest party of the year is about to go up. That's right.
Yo.
March 23rd, I'm your host, DJ Khaled, for Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Award. I'll see you soon. I don't know what Father of Assad means.
That's his son. His name is Assad.
Oh, okay. So he's giving himself that title.
Father, of course. Yeah.
Father of Parker.
Yeah, Father of Parker.
I guess that's me.
Father of Carter.
Mm-hmm. Father of Caroline. Fans can cast ballots at the Kids Choice Awards website and on the Screens Up app, supported by iPad, iPhone, Android devices as well. So there you go. And you can also vote via Twitter for the first time. There will be they'll be enabling voting on specific Instagram posts too. So
yeah, I know it's popular, but I wonder if it's been robbed a little bit of its importance or impact because of like YouTube and all the stuff that's just kids tend to watch a lot more.
But maybe they're including the YouTubers in the
maybe
awards.
Maybe that's the
so
draw. Yeah.
Part of it, yeah. Hey, when Emma Thompson exited the movie Luck
On January 20th, many assumed it was because John Lasseter had been named as head of Skydance Media, the company producing the animated film. Shortly before he joined Skydance, Lasseter had left Pixar over allegations of inappropriate behavior and creating a frat-style work environment.
He had sort of preempted, like we weren't even aware of anything or any allegations or anything like that. He said that, I think he said, okay, I better jump in ahead of this and sort of removed himself.
Her publicist confirmed the assumption, but now the star is providing more context. She shared her resignation letter with the Los Angeles Times, and in it she lays out all of her objections. It's pretty lengthy. I'll just read these segments. She wrote in part, "It feels very odd to me that you and your company would consider hiring someone with Mr. Lasseter's pattern of misconduct, given the present climate in which people with the kind of power that you have can reasonably be expected to step up to the plate."
Mm.
She said, "If a man has made women at his companies feel undervalued and disrespected for decades, why should the woman at his new company think that any respect he shows them is anything other than an act he's required to perform by his coach, his therapist, and his employment agreement? I hope these queries will make the level of my discomfort understandable. I regret having to step away because I love Alessandro," who's the director, Alessandro Carloni, "so much and think he is an incredibly creative director, but I can only do what feels right during these difficult times of transition and collective consciousness raising." So she's bailing and she's saying straight ahead because this dude's on board.
I mean, Lasseter was at the nexus of the creation of Pixar and Toy Story and all that stuff. Yeah, so yeah. It's a wild thing.
Yep. Hey, after posting multiple cryptic Instagram stories that seem to allude to the revelation that her boyfriend Tristan Thompson cheated on her with Kylie, with Kylie's friend Jordan Woods, Chloe now is addressing the scandal more directly.
"I thought it was important to talk about it directly. And not just cryptically on Instagram."
Fans have been sending Chloe love on social media since the scandal broke.
"I love you."
This is the second ordeal that Chloe has been through with Tristan, and their sympathy for her has gone into overdrive.
You know what I'm doing, Preston?
What are you doing?
I'm keeping a stiff upper lip.
Well, that's a positive thing, and you should
thank
do that.
You.
Chloe thanked fans for their support and asked them to be kind. She tweeted, "Hi, loves. Wanted you to
Hey, gals. Hi-o. Feeling back to myself.
Hi, loves.
Feel amazed balls.
Wanted you to know that I appreciate you." I hate that. Yeah. I hate it. I hate it when people address on social media to their fans.
Hey, fans.
You know what I mean?
Hey, all you. Yeah. Hey, my fans. Hey, my followers. Hey, my sycophants. Hey, you.
So, anyhow.
I'm hungry.
Hi, loves. Wanted you to know that I appreciate you.
I do.
I've been reading your kind words, and they really are a blessing to me. I love you. Thank you. I'll be back when I'm in the mood to chat with you all. Until then, remember to be kind to one another. Just don't approach me in public if you see me anywhere.
Yeah, right?
No, she didn't.
Oh, my guards will shoot you dead.
That last part of it.
I'm not kidding.
You
come anywhere near me, my kid, my guards will kill you.
I love you so much.
Love you.
Just don't talk to me. Chloe has also completely scrubbed Jordan from her Good American Jeans site.
Oh, no!
Where she previously had her own page.
She had her own page on the Jeans site and now no more.
Yeah, according to reports, Jordan has been shut out of all business opportunities with the family now.
There's no way back.
And in the future. She's cut off from all family business.
She's like, yeah, absolutely.
Just like Michael Corleone
did with
Carlo.
Just tell me if you did it.
Yeah.
Just tell me. If you slept with Tristan, that's all.
It insults his intelligence.
It insults my intelligence for you to sit there and tell me you didn't sleep with Tristan.
Steve, you think it'll end one of the episodes of Kardashians with, like, the door closing?
Right. And Kris Jenner's out there for old time's sake.
Can't do it, Mominger.
Can't do it, Mominger.
My God, it is.
With Chloe's feet kicking to the windshield.
Yeah.
With one kick.
Yeah.
The whole front assembly of the car comes off.
They are kind of Godfather-esque,
yeah,
man.
But you insult my intelligence.
Mm-hmm, yeah. She's been cut off from all family business and opportunities with the family now and in the future.
They're sending you to Las Vegas.
She's going out. Her and Mo Green spend some time together. Kylie has removed her security clearance from her gated community as well.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
You lose security clearance.
Meanwhile, the excommunicated insider, Jordan, is preparing to spill the beans in a discussion with Jada Pinkett Smith on her Red Table Talk Facebook show.
I mean, come on. Come on with this nonsense.
Apparently, Jordan has known the Smith family for years and once dated Jaden Smith.
She, by the way, her defense was that she was blackout drunk and didn't realize what she was. That's a defense?
What?
That's a defense?
No.
You were blackout drunk and didn't realize what you were doing?
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyhow, we'll follow the family business. Pete Davidson gave a heckler mocking rapper Mac Miller's death the boot at his show on Monday night. An attendee tells the paper the Saturday Night Live star began the set by joking, "So, a funny thing happened to me recently in my apartment. My friend died of a heart attack." And it was to set up a joke. Okay? And that's when a member of the audience, and it was at the South Orange Performing Arts Center in South Orange, New Jersey, then somebody yelled out, "Mac Miller." Of course, Miller died of a drug overdose in September. He was famously involved with his ex, Ariana Grande. So anyhow, Pete calmly stopped his routine and then asked the audience to ID the dude that yelled that out and that he is going to have to leave. And then he asked security to locate the yeller and escort him out. He said, "And give him back his money. I don't want his money." And then when nothing happened for a second, Davidson said, "I'm serious. I'm going to leave the stage. So if you want to hear the rest of the show, you'll point out to security who yelled so they can escort him out. If not, I'm going to leave right now, and I'm not going to have any of that S happening at my show." So they pointed out the guy. He was escorted out, and the joke ended up being about a friend who passed out but ended up being fine, and they didn't really have a heart attack. So he was just setting up a joke, but he's not going to, you know, he's not going to have the personal stuff thrown out by the audience.
No, and just a heckler who kills a joke, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just another idea. Hey. Here's an idea, guys. Shut up and enjoy the show.
Yep.
Shut your hole.
Hey, Andy Dick pleaded no contest to lewd conduct and battery at court on Tuesday after being accused of grabbing a woman's butt. The star avoided jail time and will instead complete 15 days community service. He'll be placed on summary probation for 36 months. He was charged with sexual battery last April. He's also been grappling with issues at home, getting hit with a long-term protective order last year by his wife after two incidents at this place.
Was he also living in a modified garage?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, like out in L.A., the weather's sort of conducive.
You can get away with that.
You can get away with that. But he was living in a modified garage, I heard.
Yeah. But he's always been very handsy, very grabby. He likes to lick people.
He does.
And stuff like that. He's going to have to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence showed off her stunning engagement ring, reportedly worth six figures, at her first public appearance since becoming engaged to Cook Maroney.
Cook Maroney. The name's Cook Maroney. How are you?
So I saw a blurb about this. I think it might have been over the weekend. That's why I didn't really report about it. And she's kind of been off the radar a little bit publicity-wise.
Yeah. She wanted that. After Red Sparrow, she wanted to disconnect.
Yeah.
She felt it was getting away from her. I sort of commend that.
Yep.
And now I saw her. She's in a commercial. I forget for what product, but I think it's for that thing, Casey, that sealer that seals up your gutters.
Yeah, she's the new Woo Doggy person.
Woo Doggy! Yeah. No, but she's... Hi, I'm Jennifer Lawrence, Oscar winner, and I love sealants. Woo Doggies! It seems to work out, and I think she's now connected to a guy. He appears to be out of the industry, Nick. I don't know the story on him, if you can dig it up.
Cook Maroney.
Cook Maroney's the name!
It's spelled C-O-O-K.
Hoodily.
She will, she'll want the publicity back in a little while, but just not right now. The 28-year-old.
When she's the fourth judge on the four.
Yeah. She stepped out at the Christian Dior fashion show in Paris on Tuesday. The under-the-radar pair started dating last spring.
It is kind of quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turn around.
That's
Jennifer Lawrence.
They're getting engaged.
He's an art dealer.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, yeah. In fact, yes. And I remember reading the story. He's out of Manhattan, I believe. And he sort of turned her around to the world of fine art.
Okay. All right. Well, good for her. To celebrate their 10-year wedding anniversary Tuesday, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are giving fans a glimpse of their family behind the scenes.
So exciting for us.
So this was, I guess this was on social media. I said, I can't believe it's already been 10 years since we've chosen to walk this life together. And what an incredible 10 years we've had.
We are so successful.
There is...
Look at this. This is our closet.
There is nothing that I love more...
Now into the monorail, we're heading to the kitchen. Isn't it crazy how wealthy and good-looking we are? Are you enjoying this?
Oh, my God.
Look at my wife's ass. It's perfect. And I'm a major athlete. With how many Super Bowl trophies, I can't even keep count. I'm so wealthy.
You know, it's so funny that that aspect of social media. I was talking to one of my best friends who was in town. Super successful guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Great house. Everything is family. Everything is going great. They vacation. They do what they want to do. I'm really happy for him. He's a good person.
Yeah.
But he stays completely 100% off of social media. And he said part of the reason was he saw what a great life all these other people were having, and it was depressing him. And he has a great life.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, okay. So even if you have an over-the-top, great, you know, you are adventurous. You're getting the world is your oyster. Even you could be affected by that crap.
I was reading. I mean? There was part of a book. It was a political book I was reading. I forget where, what the author or what exactly the general gist of the book was. But there was a whole subsection about the creators of Facebook and Twitter and knowing and admitting to knowing the addictive, depressing nature of social media.
Yeah.
Just what filters alone have done to exacerbate body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And people who look at these pictures and say, why don't I look that perfect?
I will actually, before I post something, I will go, is this me kind of waving it in somebody's face about what a great...
Am I a douche?
Am I having... I'm having a great time. I think this would be kind of fun to share. And then I'm like, am I coming off as like all I do is have a great time and I have awesome great toys and have a lot of fun?
Yeah,
but
you
your life sucks.
Post a crying picture.
Blah, blah, blah. What's that? I know, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you did that, people have done that. We've torn them apart.
And what's your outlandish lifestyle? You live in Harleysville with your family?
Hey,
I just did an escape room. Sorry if that upsets you. I have escape room money.
It's funny.
Yeah, but, I know what you're saying, though. And you don't.
You don't want to look pompous.
Yeah, yes. You don't
listen. I post my bedhead photos, and some people were like, "Dude, at least you have hair." You know?
Really? Like,
yeah.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yes.
Oh,
you jerk!
You jerk!
Where did you get off having hair? So she continued by writing, "There is nothing that I love more in this world than you and our family. Thank you for being on this journey with me. For doing the work that it takes to make it so special."
My sweetest husband, when you left your pregnant girlfriend, it was the greatest day of my life. You're so awesome.
She said, "May we continue growing together, walking side by side, supporting and loving one another for many years to come." So they're
having... These guys are going to go the distance.
I think you're going to go the distance, yeah.
You want to talk about having hamburger at home, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Steak at home. Going out for hot dogs.
Right.
Okay. Right.
When I'm banging hot dogs.
Honestly.
When I have really old beef at home.
You can't eat steak every single... I mean, no. You can, but...
I have too many stories and not enough time here, so I'm going to have to be nitpicky here about these last few. Let's go with this one, Steve. This is sad, but you'll appreciate this. The creator... of the Love Boat has passed away.
Son of a bitch. What's his name?
Her name is Geraldine Saunders. She created the show.
Did she write the book that it's based on?
She wrote the book, yep.
Okay.
She died Monday night at her home in Glendale from complications stemming from kidney stone surgery. She was 96, so she lived a great life.
Holy hell.
The Love Boat ran from 1977 to 1986. It was based on the nonfiction book Love Boats, which she wrote by drawing on her experience as a cruise director.
It had like a subtitle, Confessions of a Something or Other, right?
And it was a cruise director, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Geraldine was so happy this year and was basking in the limelight of the celebrations of her 40th anniversary of her TV deal and the first episodes of Love Boat.
And that's what killed her.
No, it didn't kill her. It was a kidney surgery thing.
Oh, sorry.
So,
her joy actually landed. But, man.
96.
Talk about a guilty pleasure. It is the height of hokey television.
Oh, yeah.
The height. But the great part is that every episode of Love Boat was a series of stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So each one, which one was going to be worse? So, and when it starts up, my wife and I played a game, which sub-level star, even for that time,
yeah,
is on this episode of The Love Boat.
Yep, yep, it is fun.
It's Dan Haggerty, Bert Convy.
Yeah.
Florence Henderson.
Charo.
Charo.
Uh-huh. And Ruth Buzzy. I love the Charo.
Yeah, Charo had a recurring role. She was a ship's. Well, she stowed away, and then she became an entertainer.
Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono. Bob Mackey. Dick Shaw. Bobby Short. Elky Summer. Look at, these are the legitimate names here.
Yeah.
Who was like a side player on the Carol Burnett show?
Oh,
like,
Harvey, no, not like, Harvey Korman.
Like a side
Lyle
player.
Wagner.
That's it.
Lyle Wagner.
But I wonder, like,
Bob Mackey was on this episode, Preston. He was the one who designed the clothing for Carol Burnett. Oh,
but as an actor back in the day, that, like, it was probably a real treat to
be on.
It was
a hit. First off, it was an Aaron Spelling show. Huge. Top level. Huge. Top level with the way they treated the celebrities. A. B. It was good money, and it was easy money.
Okay, yeah. Here's a dumb question.
Yeah.
But we're, okay,
I know that they weren't really on a cruise ship.
I know that they were on a set, but yeah.
They did shoot in the initial seasons, they shot live footage on an actual ship out at sea.
But the stars and stuff were never
always
out.
They
weren't out on the Lido deck.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So, or at least outside. I kind of like this idea. I'm not big on reboots. But this is a really good movie. Fox Searchlight is lining up a reboot of Julia Roberts' 1991 hit, Sleeping with the Enemy. I liked that movie.
I did like that movie.
Yeah.
And actually, Billy Campbell was, you remember, was the abusive husband.
Yeah, and they could take it to another level today, I think.
Do you remember the thing with the monogrammed towels, too?
Yeah.
That was all this stuff. It was actually, it was one of the first of those, well, not one of the first, but one of the very memorable types of... You know, wife trying to get away from the husband thing.
Yeah, and she went to great lengths. Remember, learned how to swim and all this stuff.
She built a robot of herself.
She built that entire robot, an android, really.
Would you like some waffles?
No, anyhow, Fox is taking on James Corden's play, which is One Man, Two Governors, and plans to spin into a cinematic form. Damian Jones, the Iron Lady, is set to produce. No word yet on when we can expect to see this. Did I need to do anything else? This stuff I can save for tomorrow.
All right.
We got to get to the place. Sorry, it's almost 10
after
7, so let's go. Whiskey Cavalier follows the adventures of an FBI agent and his new partner, a CIA operative, as they lead a team of spies together.
They need to run some commercials for this thing.
Unbelievable.
Every 7 seconds.
In this clip, Scott Foley clears up the confusion behind the title. Here we go.
Every operative, whether they're CIA or FBI, gets a code name, right? And usually their code names are based off of their first and last initials. So the character I play is Will Chase. His code name is Whiskey Cavalier.
Oh. I don't think I want to see it.
Steve, I'm with you 100% on this. It might not even be that bad of a show.
No.
But just the inundation of commercials for it. But I guess they've spent so much money on production value and travel or whatever that
they don't want to risk it.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of eggs in the basket.
They're
going to
shame you into watching. I love her from The Walking Dead.
Who is it? I haven't.
It's Maggie.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
She's a stunner.
Yeah, notice how she hasn't...
I don't watch a lot of network television, so I haven't seen any
of these. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Every sort of... heart to heart. You know, but they're sort of contentious, but there's sexual tension. She's more of the emotionless badass, and he's the one who has more feelings. He's FBI, she's CIA, I think.
I'm just happy to see her cleaned up.
Yeah,
she's great.
Instead of The Walking Dead or looking all grungy for years.
Preston, the hour of Jeopardy into Wheel of Fortune every night, you'll get at least 3 or 4 of these commercials.
All right, just a quick thing if I may jump in here quickly. Are you guys watching the Million Dollar Challenge?
My God.
How good is that?
Oh, yeah, the Team Jeopardy thing?
Yes.
A little bit.
I wish there was more Jeopardy. I don't like the reality show portion of it. I don't care about the interviews and getting to know what Ken Jennings has been up to for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but it is kind of a cool thing.
Well, the competition part of it's great.
All right, so Whiskey Cavalier premieres tonight, by the way, on ABC. Let's do the next clip. Here we go. And the wedding guest, Dev Patel's character, walks into the party armed with duct tape and a shotgun to kidnap the bride-to-be. In this clip, he talks about their guerrilla style of shooting.
Guerrillas.
How it gives the audience a fresh perspective. Here we go.
You can go in with these big juggernaut film crews, and it stops you from really capturing the true essence of the places you're filming in. You know, the way we filmed this, you know, there was no makeup artist running around. It was just me and Radhika in an environment. Michael was hidden, and we're traveling on a coach or a train in character, making that journey. So it feels really alive.
Really?
Yeah. Wedding Guest opens on Friday. That's it. That's what I got for you, Mike. God, it's almost a quarter after. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We have a lot of stuff happening. We have an announcement to make today. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. We got a bunch of movie screening passes. We'll get to all that stuff in just a second. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on the
air. Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
Booyah! Thank you, Kathy. So this story yesterday came to a close. I don't know if you guys caught this. In Oregon, there was a train that was stuck for more than 36 hours. And kind of like in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And people couldn't get off the train.
Oh, they couldn't get off?
No, they couldn't get off.
Oh, they weren't allowed. They weren't letting them get off. They were in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, no, you could. If you wanted to get off, you could have. But they said the snow was too... It was way too much. You couldn't get where you needed to be.
It wasn't going
to
help you if you got off.
Exactly.
Where are you going to go?
Right, yeah,
so
exactly.
This isn't a crowded train where people were standing and stuff like that, right? Everybody had a seat?
This is one of these type of scenic trains where a lot of the windows, you know, the seats face out to these at the top. They had these, like, a viewing area and all that stuff.
So I guess they had food on board as well.
Yep, they did. But they were going from Eugene, Oregon to Los Angeles. So, there were about 200 people on board.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tree and snow and all that stuff. And the train got stuck. And they had to sit there for 36 hours. They had power. They had food. They had things
Eugene.
Like that. But if you've ever been in a non-moving situation for, you know, you've just been stuck.
Tarmac.
It's... sucks.
It's horrible.
It is.
You get...
You become best friends with people around you.
Or mm-hmm. bitter enemies.
Yeah.
Because every little thing starts to agitate you.
I mean, it wasn't 36 hours, but when I was in Paris, it was me and my cousins, and we were on a subway train, and it got held up in the middle of a tunnel, and it was crowded, like, really, and I started bugging a little bit.
Did you?
Had it gone, and...
How long before you started bugging?
Oh, dude, it was, like, just, like, 5 minutes or whatever.
But you started to get that quickly.
I didn't know how long it was gonna go
right.
And it was really crowded, and so I started having to do, like, little breathing techniques to, like, calm myself down.
Really?
I think my cousin was worse.
Yeah.
But, and, like... You know,
because you're in a tunnel.
Well, and so it started getting more. I felt the tension in the air.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to participate in this tension. So let me just kind of like remove myself, close my eyes. Let's breathe a little bit. Right. And that's kind of where I was trying to get to because I didn't want to bug it out. You know?
Well, and you do. You start to like think. My mm-hmm. brother does not do good on planes. He hates flying, but mm-hmm. He did fly. And he was actually with Dennis and they got stuck on the plane in Chicago for hours. I think it was 12 hours, something like that.
12 hours on the tarmac?
This was years ago. It was actually for Dennis's bachelor party. It was years ago. So it was before they had those rules in place where there could only be a certain amount of time.
Right.
So they were on there, and they became friends with the girls in front of them who gave them treats and snacks. She had a whole backpack filled with snacks, fortunately.
Yeah.
But my brother started to. He doesn't like to fly anyway, so he started to, like, think, I guess. And mind you, this was at the end of the bachelor party. They were probably all so hungover.
Yeah.
And he started to, like, almost pass out. He was like, I think I'm going to pass out. He just started, like, thinking about everything, and he was going to get off of the plane and just get on a new one. But after 12 hours, they finally came with, like, good news, and he's like, all right, I'll stay.
So only 4 more hours. Right. At the end of the 12 hours, only 4 more hours. Yeah.
So with this train in Oregon, were there any, like, emergencies or they needed to get people to...
That's everybody amazing. Was fine. Nobody got hurt. And in fact, a lot of the passengers said it wasn't that bad. They played cards. A kid had a ukulele. They played some music.
And the staff say
dance.
Professional.
And,
they were good.
And they said the staff was all very, very nice to them and everything. And they had power and food and heat. But they were about to run out of power. I'm sorry, food. But
that panic, that to hear that panic like you had in just a few minutes to start to think about that stuff, I've seen people start to wig out, you know, and it there's nothing you can do, you know. So it's like the people in lifeboats, Preston, the first guy, I've got to get out of here.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to drink the water.
Yep. I think the longest I've ever sat, and for me, it's so incredibly frustrating, talking about being on a plane and sitting on the tarmac, is when you've actually pulled up to the gate.
You're there.
You are there. We sat there for 3 hours one time.
No.
Here in Philadelphia, because there was no one at the gate that was available to deplane. And I'm sitting there for 3 hours, man.
Dennis Miller has a good bit about this where he talks about, what are we, a surprise?
Yeah.
Were you not expecting us?
Yeah.
What did we, sorry we showed up unannounced.
And nothing, zero entertainment. This was pre-smartphones, so you didn't have anything to at least kill some time with.
Yeah.
You know, a game or whatever, or watch it. You know, at that point, maybe you could get a Wi-Fi signal, and you could watch a movie or something at least, but nothing. Just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it sucks. And then I start to feel like little parts of my body that feel uncomfortable. It makes it worse.
You know? And it pins and needles, and then you start tugging on your collar. I can't breathe.
But I've never been in, like, Casey, you said it was a crowded train.
A crowded subway train, yes. Okay. I mean, and we were standing. You know, I
nuts think it was, to butts?
Yes, that you know, sucks. Unfortunately.
And in some cases, nuts to nuts. There's a little docking going on.
I probably, if I were sitting down, it would be a different story. I wouldn't be.
Tip to tip.
Yeah.
Let me take some calls. I'm going to go to Patrick. Hi, Patrick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Pat?
I have been in this situation more times than I can count. I've been stuck on trains for hours, like in a tunnel.
Casey,
like what you were talking about, that's the worst. When you have nothing to look out at and you're just staring into blackness, that is the most, that is the worst feeling.
Let me ask you something, Patrick. When you're on the train sometimes, and I was on the Long Island, I was actually in the subway in the city and heading into Penn Station, and it stopped and the lights went off in the train and we were in a dark tunnel for a while. Did you have that occur to you fairly often?
I've never had that happen.
Yeah.
I've been on a plane where we've gotten stuck on the tarmac, and they've turned the lights off there, and that was something like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So that was definitely dark, and you're just looking out at the airport. That was insane.
Like you can walk. You can walk to the freaking airport.
Yeah.
I would have loved to. I think that was something like 3-4 hours.
Jeez.
I got stuck in a subway one time, and we they made us get off the train. And it was in between stops. It was here in Philadelphia. And
you were in the tunnel?
It was in the tunnel, and the subway car was just not going anywhere. And it was a little weird and scary. Because
you'd love to have had that happen.
Right?
Patrick's all for that.
Thanks, yeah. Patrick. I was Rochelle and I took the train up to Boston one time, and we had to stop to pick up other passengers that were on a train.
What, was it like a bus?
But they, we had to stop in the middle of, I mean, not at a station. We just stopped in the middle of the track to pick up passengers from a train that had gotten stuck.
I thought people were like train hiking.
So they all doubled into our train, and it was like standing room only, but we were the lifeboat.
Yeah. You were the lifeboat train?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, so you just stopped in the middle of like a field?
Yeah, they made an announcement. They're like, ladies and gentlemen, we have to unfortunately have an unscheduled stop. There's a train that's you know, either lost power or whatever it is, and we have to pick up the passengers.
Wow.
I had no idea that ever is done, but sure enough, that's what we had to do.
That's wild.
Yeah. Let me go to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Similar to you, Preston, but the other way around, flying from PHL, Philadelphia, to Florida.
Okay.
We pulled away from the gate. We could see the gate, and they stopped the plane and held us there for close to 3 hours.
So 3 hours. That's annoying. Now, so what'd you do to kill the time?
Nothing. There was nothing to, you know, read a magazine. That was about it.
Yeah.
And watch the time that I was supposed to land in Florida come and go as we're sitting in Philadelphia.
Yeah, because that's a 2.5 hour flight.
Right.
You would have been in Florida. Let me ask you, how would you have fared with Kathy's brother situation? 12 hours.
I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I wouldn't have made it. But can I give you the ticket to the whole situation?
Sure.
Sure.
The captain
almost 3 hours, the captain comes over to intercom and says, hospitality services cannot bring us ice. Does anyone care if we fly to Florida without ice?
Does anyone care if we fly to Florida without ice?
They could not get ice to the plane for drinks.
My refrigerator makes ice.
Yeah.
And it's not a Boeing, jet.
Yeah.
No, it was a small plane.
It's just amazing. Yeah, all those weird things.
You know what you have to be careful of is if you have a bunch of smokers on the flight and they're not allowed to be left on for several hours.
That's who gets irritated.
Yeah.
Freak the F out. That would be my sister. I have to smoke. You have to open the door. You don't understand. I have to get out and smoke right now or else I'm going to have it.
There's nothing you can do.
Go buy some Nicorette. This is what you should do. Go buy a whole bunch of Nicorette gum just on the off chance that you're going to be stuck somewhere where you can't smoke.
I was on the tarmac. Probably the longest would have been about 4 hours one time, and that was fairly nightmarish. Sort of a worse situation is you're waiting for your flight, and there was a mechanical issue. Another plane is coming, so the other plane comes. There's a problem with the windshield.
Uh-huh.
Another plane.
This is all the signs that you should leave the airport
right now. Just leave.
Right now.
It's not. And I'm like, oh, my God. And eventually, of course, they canceled the flight after about 8-9 hours in the airport.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yes way. Oh, it was horrible.
Sucks. Yeah, I didn't. I had a flight cancel on me while I was at the Logan International, just coming back to Philadelphia. It's a 45-minute flight. And I said, you know what? God doesn't want me on a plane today. So I rented a car and drove.
I'd rather be moving, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Harder for transatlantic flights.
Let me go to, I have Elliot on the line. Hey, Elliot, good morning.
Hey, good morning. SLR rocks.
Oh,
thanks.
That's very cool.
Appreciate it. What's your story, man?
So I was on a flight in the Philadelphia airport going down to Florida. We were headed down, and we went through a de-icer because it was like April of 2018. It was like a freak ice storm.
Right.
And we went to the de-icer about 4 times. And it was crazy because we ended up sitting in the plane for about 5 hours. We get released back into the airport, and then we come out. Now, all these planes that we're going to head down to Florida are like in the airport just waiting and everything like this. And then they combined like 5 flights worth of people, like the people that held out, and then they were waiting on the co-pilot. So they combined all these flights, and then we finally headed out. We had to wait 2 hours to get them through the de-icer, and then a 2.5 hour flight. It was, I think, overall it was about 13 hours.
Oh, 13 hours for a 2 hour flight.
To the time I was supposed to actually
land. Elliot, I don't think I've ever been on a plane that needs to be de-iced before. What do they do? They drive you through like a giant microwave oven or what?
So they basically like queue up all these things and then they just spray it down with, I guess, like this salty mixture.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I remember, Elliot, I was flying home from Detroit one time. Doesn't it smell kind of weird too?
I didn't really notice much of the smell, but dude, so get this. All my buddies had like the new iPhones that had come out, iTouches and all this stuff. And dude, I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. I didn't even have a book. So I'm sitting there the entire time with nothing to read. I must have read through like the manual,
the safety,
20 times and all that stuff. I'm trying to make conversation with people. Everybody's like so annoyed.
Well, I tell you what, to that matter, it becomes a lot more endurable now. You know, with iPads and with your own personal device, at least you can suffer a little bit less when you have that stuff.
Casey and I have traveled a few times together, and I come supplied, and so do you.
Yes, I do.
You just don't know. I've got snacks, I've got little treats, got something.
Activities?
Not only will I have my phone to entertain myself with either, games or whatever it may be, but I make sure I bring something, a hard copy of something to read.
Yep.
As well. I'll bring either a book or magazines or something like that because crap like this happens, man. But if you're on a train for 36 hours, you're going to run out of that pretty quick.
I don't care how good the ukulele kid is.
One of the passengers said, with the help of heat, power, and food, a passenger said the mood on board had remained surprisingly upbeat. This person said, it's just been like a giant kumbaya party.
Do you know what I would do, honestly, Kumbaya. without, with, yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. without the passenger's knowledge, and maybe they do have this at Amtrak, have some sort of laughing gas that they can subtly pump into the train in case it does. You know, who would know if you had just a very light mixture?
They said a teenager played his ukulele to get kids.
Stop it!
To kids to get them to sleep. Ladies who had never met before were dancing in the aisles. Okay. She said the hardship had been stressful because passengers could not go anywhere. The stranded train was surrounded by feet of snow. And the highway that they could see was shut down. So, like, there weren't even cars driving by. It was desolate.
Was there alcohol?
A tree had come down on the tracks, right? That's what...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Good question.
Because maybe that's why the ladies were dancing.
Maybe.
And by the way, it shifted to full-blown lesbian stuff. do those have sleeper cars, those...
Some of them do, but I've had the bar car on the Amtrak. They got booze, so you can go get a drink or whatever. And it's actually... I've done the Amtrak from Philly to D.C. many
times. Nice?
I love it.
You know what, though? It's expensive. It's far more expensive than you would...
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be cheaper than air travel. No.
Have you guys done the... Have you stayed in a sleeper car or a car with berths or anything?
Not
no.
Not in the U.S., but I have in Europe.
Okay.
I got the Eurail pass when I studied abroad, and it was like $600 for the whole semester. You could go anywhere in Europe that Eurail went.
Could you sleep in it?
You could sleep in it.
So comfortable?
It's a luxurious, fantastic way that you go to... Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, you go to the Paris train station, you go to bed, you wake up in Munich. You know, it's just such a great way to travel. I can't recommend it more highly.
The plane, the railroad car just stays there, and they move all the props and the
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
We come in.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing that, about an American train
My cousin
trip.
Did it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's so funny. He's such a fun guy. He just always wanted to do it. So I think the Phils were playing at Wrigley, and he's like, this is the one. I'm going to take a sleeper car from Philly to Chicago. And they have one that I would love to do that goes from, like, Chicago to – you could do, like, a train vacation through, like, Montana and all that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
If you have those special viewing areas, to me, that would be worth it, where you can see some scenery that you can only see from, you know – The rail system, where even highways don't even pierce that far in, I think to me that's very enticing. I was pressing for the longest time flirting with the notion of doing this. I think it's called the Flying Scotsman or the Royal Scotsman.
The Royal Scotsman.
Yeah, and it is it's a train that goes through, you know, the very rural areas of Scotland, and very rustic, scenic, and it's one of these Murder on the Orient Express sort of old style full beautiful. Cabins. And
do you remember how much it cost?
It was about $1 billion.
Yeah, no, but I think it's about... I think it's about $25,000.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. I know that there are train lines like that in the U.S. that can get you into areas where you can't travel other than by train. And so you're seeing completely undisturbed country other than the tracks.
Yes.
You know? But it's absolutely nature at its best. And I'd like to do that sometime. I took the time.
So part of the... I took the cruise through Alaska with my wife, and it was our unofficial honeymoon. And there was a train ride that you took through parts of the old silver mining areas. And it was amazing. Preston, there's no roads there. You would never see that unless you're on a train. Yeah. And to see that stuff is just sensational.
Yeah.
And falling asleep in a train car, like a berth, I fall asleep sitting up in a train. It's so relaxing. That rocking.
That slight rocking.
I don't think I'd have any trouble.
Yeah. So, well, anyhow, these guys were stuck for 36 hours, more than 36 hours.
But there was a ukulele player.
So thank God for that. But then they had
He was
to,
just learning.
I don't know if they ever got to their destination. I don't think they did. And they had to turn around and go back. And
they all did, but the ukulele player never made it.
Oh, yeah. He was the one victim of
one
the whole
fatality.
Thing. Sorry, we had to
kill
the ukulele.
That's their Murder on the Orient Express. We found him with the ukulele shoved up his ass.
Well, they finally got a move. They had to send another, basically another train to tow them out of there, another engine, and they had to. They would only go a few hundred yards, and then they had to stop because they had to manually throw the switches on the tracks. It was just a thing they had to do, and it took them forever to get back. Apparently, so. So that kind of sucks, but they're done, and they've got a story to tell now. Hmm. All right, we need to take a break. Not before we give you a story to tell. That is that you'll be one of the first people to see the movie Captain Marvel.
Whoa!
Yeah, and you'll be able to tell people before it opens how great it was, or if you didn't like it, whatever it may be.
It's going
to
be great.
We have a screening of the film, and it is Tuesday at the Regal Warrington. And it will be at 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock. So let's take five callers and set you up for free right now. 215-263-WMMR's number. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Bizarre File. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. Maybe we'll have our announcement. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we'll come back with the information on that announcement, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
MMR rocks Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019, presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum.
A gigantic 18-foot tall R2-D2 is coming down.
The giant hoagie has come down. There have to be 20 people inside that thing.
Join the party Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
This is like Mummers on Acid.
Mummers on Acid on snow.
It's a spectacle on snow where everyone has a blast. Amazing cardboard creations, thrilling runs, and epic fails. Be a part of the gallery up and down the tubing hill.
There are people falling on top of each other.
Complete pandemonium.
Hit the slopes on the cheap with the MMR VIP lift ticket special. Just $20 available until noon on February 27th or while supplies last. Details at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We've got about 2 minutes till we do this. You want to make the announcement now?
Sure.
Yeah. We can. Yeah. I think we have enough, but you know what?
No.
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 I want to spend. I don't want to be pushed. I don't want to be.
Sure.
Rushed on this. Thank you very much. Not pushed, rushed. Don't stop pushing me.
Stop pushing.
I
want to get your shuba.
Because I want to spell out all the details and talk a little bit about. How much fun this is going to be. So we'll do the announcement in just a little while. But in the meantime, I can find some other things to talk about. I know we're going to talk Cardboard Classic with our friends over at Fox 29 in just a moment or two. So we will get to that in just a little bit.
Why don't you say the names of the show members?
Just trying to buy a little time, stretch it out a little bit.
You're talking about Casey's Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Live commercial.
Hey, that's 60
it worked.
Seconds a copy.
It worked.
20 seconds.
That's Casey of the Preston and Steve Show.
Casey Boy.
Casey Boy. Right, yeah.
Well, Casey Boy Foster.
Here's what I'll let you know about. We do have for our Word of the Week prize this week, because I haven't mentioned that yet this morning. We do have four tickets to see WWE Live Saturday night at the Hard Rock in AC, and we'll also set you up with two hotel rooms for the night. And what's cool is that Friday night... which we're not giving you tickets. You could go to this, but we're doing Saturday with the full event. But Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair are going to be at the Hard Rock, and they're going to be just talking WWE.
Honestly, from a fan's perspective, that's a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, and I would imagine that people are going to bring up Chris Hemsworth to Hulk Hogan because he's going to be playing Hulk Hogan in this movie, supposedly.
I wonder who's going to be playing Ric Flair.
Ric Flair could have a movie just about him.
Yeah.
He absolutely could. He didn't quite hit the level of fame that Hulk did, but he's certainly one of the biggest ever in that world.
If he were to put on some more weight, Bill Weston could play Ric Flair.
Oh, my God. With the hair?
Yeah.
You mean?
Woo!
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 Oh, God. Yeah, and you know what?
I'm going to wrestle you now. Woo!
One of his signature moves would be like the third leg of the stool. Yeah.
Third leg of the stool, I call this low-hanging fruit.
Bill, throw the barn door at him.
I tug on your testicles. Woo!
All right, we're going live on Fox. Good day. Good job killing time there, folks.
Here we did it.
Here we go.
Hello, listeners of Preston and Steve. Hello, Preston and Steve.
Hello.
Crew
good
over there.
Morning, Mike and Alex.
Hello. And one of our Fox favorite 29. Events is Friday, the Cardboard Classic. Got anything new this year, Preston?
Everything.
Tons of things.
Well, we rely on the creativity of our listeners and the participants of the Cardboard Classic, and they always come up with new stuff, things that we hadn't expected. So we don't know. I mean, I do have a list of the names of the sleds here.
Yeah, give them some.
But we don't know what they're going to be like until we see them. So we have cats on Roombas, which imagine, and these are huge. These are huge.
Yeah.
I would imagine they'd be made. There's the a wedding chapel. Apparently,
a couple
is going to get married on the way down the slope. They have that they are going to say their I do's and kiss on the way down the slope.
Yeah, and it's an actual chapel that's coming down.
We have the Christmas Vacation station wagon with Christmas tree on top. The Go Big or Go Home roller coaster.
Yeah.
There's one called Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. There's the tiki bar. Tiki Eve.
Full tiki bar. And plus, we have also a different categories for the various contests. And one of them is most epic fail.
Yes, we're looking forward to that because year after year they do crumble and fall apart. Yeah. We've never given an award for that, so we'll have the biggest fail. And for those who don't know, the sleds are only made from cardboard, string, glue, tape, and paint. That's it.
That's it.
Yep. Nothing else.
And, but, I mean, they're phenomenal what these guys put together, guys and girls.
Yep.
Do you mind if we have this live on our air? Can we take a camera again this year?
We love it. And, in fact, we hope a little...
Tiny,
Spitfire
tiny
will be up
there
with us.
Tiny little reporter.
Yeah.
She's obsessed. She has a bone to pick with Preston because...
What? Sure does.
She said she successfully rode a headless horseman down, and you said you'd wash her car, and then you never did.
What? Really, what is this?
Yeah, there was a little bet. Preston said there was no way she was going to make it down, but she did end up making it down.
Now, in deference to Preston, it appears that Jen is back huffing paint. So I think that.
Well, yeah.
I'll make good on that. Let me get a decent weather day. I'll go
all right.
I'll wash her car.
But you have to do it in boy shorts.
I'll wear a Speedo.
We'll see you guys Friday morning then.
Awesome.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Jack Frost Mountain.
Details, WMMR.com. All right. So, that's clearly, we're so stoked about this year. I can't wait to see.
Well, it's also sort of a make-go down last year. Listen, I am glad we were a part of what is Cardboard Classic Legend. It was legend because that we managed to live. That's what made it the legend from last year. But this year, I'm loving to get back to the creativity and the awesome stuff that these people you bring out to the function. It's going to be great.
Remember we said if they couldn't come up to kind of if they could to keep their sleds. I wonder if anybody kept it from last year.
Oh, they absolutely did.
And they're coming up this year.
Tiki East did.
They did.
They ended up. They saw that the weather was just not going to be cooperative, so they hung on to it. We actually saw it over the summertime. They brought it out to Sequoia Outback.
Oh, that's right.
And displayed it because
they
stored it for them. And it's badass, so we're looking forward to that. But here's a couple I didn't see on the list. Put a cork in it. Here's one that's called Maltby Argyle Airline. I don't know what that means.
Ah.
Whack-a-mole.
Oh, I love whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-moles. Yeah. I would imagine the moles will be human beings.
Yeah.
Here's one called Can't Get to Heaven on the Frankfurt L.
Oh, wow. That's a line from a Hooters song.
Oh!
That's cool. I wonder if it'll be a Hooters tribute.
Nice.
Yeah, that's neat.
Here's a Star Wars themed one called Boba Fast.
Boba Fast!
Should be cool. The Titanic. Somebody's doing that. That should be pretty amazing. Somebody's has a kit, KITT.
You know what, Preston? I'm watching footage from last year, and it's laughable how outlandishly stormy it was. But even amidst all of that horrible weather, there were still some amazing sleds that came down and made the full run.
It was just like a little disappointing because last year was the year after the Eagles won the Super Bowl and, you know, a couple of Lombardi trophies and stuff like that that just didn't.
And a full blown bird bite. You remember that came down?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. There's Snoopy's Doghouse. There's Dan's Rowdy Raiders, the Sauce Sled, the Speed Machine, the Meat Mobile.
Don't you love these people who put... I've been following a lot of them. Marissa's been really good with getting a lot of stuff on social media that, you know, they're tweeting out. And seeing the construction process, so they'll show you a couple of pictures. But I haven't seen any completed anything yet because everyone's waiting for the big reveal on Friday.
Here's one called the Mauve Avenger, Pac-Man Fever, Flintstones, the Wheelbarrow. There's all kinds of good stuff. So it's going to happen, and hopefully you'll be there. So this Friday, we're looking forward to it. Let's do the Bizarre File and then our announcement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File. Yeah.
All right, and this morning it is brought to you by Jack Frost Peak Boulder Ski Areas. Mark your calendar for the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic this Friday, March 1st. Jack Frost, we were just talking about that. WMMR.com to grab your lift tickets, and they're just $20. Well, people usually dip chips in salsa. A Maryville man had another idea. Howard Matthew Webb is accused of placing his testicles in a salsa container.
Why?
That was then delivered to a low-tipping customer last month.
Oh, okay, that's why, Kathy.
Yeah, there
police
you go.
Arrest.
I wonder how that would feel, though.
Police arrested Webb on Friday on a charge of adulteration of food, liquids, or pharmaceuticals, a Class C felony.
So they don't specifically say out dipping your junk in salsa.
The woman who received the salsa had ordered her food from a local Mexican restaurant through Dinner Delivered.
I just wanted to call and say that salsa tasted extraordinary today.
The Dinner Delivered is an online food delivery service. Webb was a passenger in a vehicle driven by an independent contractor who worked for Dinner Delivered. After the pair picked up the food from the restaurant, they made a video. Webb produced a video showing Webb placing his testicles in a salsa container, and the driver is heard laughing and saying, "This is what you get when you give an 89-cent tip from an almost 30-minute drive." Webb is heard saying, oh, it feels good.
Right.
The 14-second clip made the rounds on Facebook, racking up hundreds of shares. Police opened an investigation after Dinner Delivered contacted them about the video.
Why would you even think that somebody was not going to report you for that? That goes out to your Facebook friends.
The driver has not been charged, but the investigation is ongoing. Webb was not affiliated with the delivery service or the restaurant. It's unclear why he was in the vehicle in the first place. The driver worked for Dinner Delivered since November. She is now out of a job and will never try for Dinner Delivered again. This guy could face a $45,000 fine and some jail time as well.
By the way, I use these food services all the time, and I tip well, and I've never tasted ball sack in any of my food.
But they knew ahead of time that the tip was so low, and that's why they...
Yes, you can. You'll know ahead of time what the tip is going to be because you pre-tip.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
There's little you can imagine that is more patronizing than a grown-ass woman lawyer being told that she's, quote, a little girl who doesn't know how to act like a young lady. But that's exactly what an ethics complaint alleges happened to Michigan prosecutor Heather Washington. It was an interaction that Washington had with another attorney, Clifford Woodards II, that the complaint alleges went off the rails. Washington told Woodards that she couldn't offer his client a plea deal on a traffic violation without seeing the client's driving record first. Woodards allegedly became aggressive with Washington, citing his additional years of experience and telling the prosecutor that she needed to, quote, know her place. As he was leaving the office, Woodards said something to the effect of, "These kids think they know everything and always want to argue with people." Woodards then returned and pointed a finger in the prosecutor's face. He said something to the effect of, "Little girl, don't talk to me and move out of my face. You need to back up, little girl, and know your place."
Wow.
He's telling a prosecutor this.
Oh, yeah? I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
He also allegedly said the prosecutor doesn't know how to act like a young lady, acting immature. A supervisor heard raised voices, entered the office, and separated Woodards and the prosecutor, not content to...
He's staring at me.
Let the interaction end there. Woodards took to Facebook for additional commentary, blaming Washington for the blow-up, saying she went straight into rat mode, stepped into my personal space, and derisively started waving papers directly in my face.
Rat mode!
Mm-hmm. And, by the way, this isn't the first time this guy has been calling people
names.
He told a probation officer that she had, quote, angry black woman syndrome.
You have angry black woman syndrome?
That's why you don't have a husband.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sounds like a sweetheart.
He's going to get a talking to. One more story.
Yeah.
It's a short one because we have guests that don't have much time that are following up. And in fact, we're probably going to have to move our announcement, I guess.
Yeah, that's okay.
Damn it, I'm sorry. A woman.
We'll blame it on our guests.
Is reportedly trying to find a designer who will make her handbag out of her own skin from her amputated leg.
Oh, wow. My.
Yikes.
Joan from Manchester, England, is said to have posted the bizarre request online called My Leg Handbag. The 55-year-old revealed that she had peripheral arterial disease, and it was looking very likely that she was going to have her own lower left leg amputated. But rather than say goodbye to her limb forever, she wanted to turn it into a purse. She posted a request online on Soport, reaching out to designers through the custom clothing platform who might be willing to take on the project, which she's budgeted at about $3,900.
I wouldn't do that. I'd take the leg and turn it into an umbrella stand.
She said, "I was reading about the human waste scandal where they just dump body parts into rot, and I don't want that to happen to me. So after chatting about a leather with a friend, she had a light bulb moment, said, can I use my amputated leg to create something beautiful and useful? And after discussing with the hospital whether she could keep the leg, the reaction has been positive, so Joan is trying to find someone who will take on the job. So far, nobody has said that they will do it.
You would think that's illegal, right?
Well, she's finding out if she can keep the body part.
Yeah.
So,
what about like a real leg lamp, though? That would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool and touching for the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. So,
see that sexy leg lamp? That's my leg.
She is not gonna. She's gonna try to have it done. I don't know if it is going to take place or not. But she wants to make a purse out of her leg.
Wild
amputated leg. And there you go. That's the bizarre file for you. So we've moved things.
Yeah, because these guys got to be out of here in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna skip our announcement, and we're going to welcome two guests to the show because
very nice.
The Union is getting their season underway. The home opener is on Saturday, man.
This is very exciting.
It is. So I'm going to do my best here because we haven't met these guys before. Welcome. Thanks for coming this morning. We have Matt Freeze, who is here from the Union, and Fafa Picot.
Yes. There we go.
Nice.
How about that?
Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. You sound really excited to be here.
I'm excited.
Thank you very much. That's
good. Now, you guys are getting ready. You have practice in a little while, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. How long does practice go for usually?
An hour to...
Okay. You're looking at almost 60 minutes of work coming up quite shortly.
Yeah, 60 to 120.
Okay, all right. Okay. No, that's cool. How are you guys feeling about everything kicking in?
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my first season with the team, so definitely looking forward to the season opener on Saturday.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Episcopal Academy.
Okay, yeah, and you grew up in Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So did you grow up going to a lot of Union games?
Yeah, I grew up going to Union games since I can remember. I was at the first ever game, and then pretty much went every season.
That's got to be wild, man. I mean, you watched this team growing up, and now you're playing for them.
And the stadium, the whole thing, the whole energy, you know, the fan base, it's really, Fafa. Is Fafa the appropriate way, or is it Fafa, or...
Fafa's cool.
Okay, Fafa. There we go. Okay, I like that better.
Yep.
So for you, and we've heard other players come into the area and say, wow, because it's Philadelphia and it's you're not sure what to expect. When you see the stadium and the facility and everything, were you impressed? It's kind of a mind blower, isn't it?
No, it's definitely beautiful. And I like the fact that I enjoy, you know, the setting, backdrop, the bridge.
The bridge is cool.
It's perfect.
How many times do you wonder if a car is going to come flying off that thing?
That would suck.
That would suck. Yeah, it would ruin a game.
It definitely would.
But it'd be kind of cool. But if no one got hurt, it'd be cool. But no, it is just a wild, you know, along the river there. If you've never been out there, you've got to get out there. What do you think of the Sons of Ben? Have you had any
interaction
with them yet?
Yeah, definitely. I've been here. This is going to be my third season, so you get to know them.
Yeah, yeah.
You get your own little chant going. And
good. What do they chant for you?
It's like Fafa Pico. It gets me hype when I'm tired. right now, I can use one of those.
Yeah. Well, you'll be up for practice. So.
For sure.
Hey, you guys, I wasn't sure if you had seen this, because I just saw it on social media, this 13-year-old girl who was just signed by Nike, a Nike endorsement for soccer. Did you see this chick?
I did not see that, but that's awesome.
Have you seen her play at all? I haven't seen her play, but I read about it.
Yeah, so I just saw the video of her doing some, just, you know, like warm-up stuff, you know, her juggling the ball. On the ground juggling, not like in the air juggling. And, you know, I'm just blown away with this girl's skills at such a young age. And, you know, there are certain sports that really do lend itself to, all right, this person is a potential superstar at such a young age and, you know, are signing letters of intent and stuff like that.
A quick question about that, because throughout the sport, when you've had people come out as superstars, you see anybody who's like, even in basketball, if someone can do what might be the equivalent of like parlor tricks with that stuff and doing that, you know, kind of... tricky stuff. Does that translate to actual in-game play? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? If you can do those sort of pyrotechnics, like in karate, there's what they call sort of like parlor tricks where you break boards and all that stuff. If you can do that, if you can do what they're showing, like this little girl, this young girl do, in the game, would that benefit you?
I think that's mostly to maintain. I don't know, maybe for goalkeepers, if it's different, but I always say cones don't move. So,
okay, all right.
Until you got like people defending you, it's a whole different game.
But, it's like right. what Bruce Lee says in the Enter the Dragon, Preston, boards don't hit back.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know your fundamentals, and clearly this type of stuff sharpens you up on that. But you need to know strategy and play and all those
definitely,
other things and how to read your opponent
sure.
and stuff like that. Matt, you're 20 years old.
Yes.
And this is your first season with the Union?
Yep.
It's your first year in the league?
Yes.
Dude, how does this feel?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
It would be natural to be nervous.
Yeah, I think I'm nervous to kind of start playing fully, you know, for the games and seasons to start up.
And next year you can legally sign documents. It'll be great.
When you're a junior and a senior in high school, when you're at Episcopal, do the inklings start to happen in your brain that maybe I can do this as a job? Like I can make money doing this and not just college, you know, but there might actually be a career for me in this sport.
I think throughout the end of high school, I was kind of thinking that it would be a possibility.
Do you get recruited?
Yeah, so I got recruited to go to college. And then ended up leaving after the year and a half just because I wanted to start it off.
How excited were your parents that you were going to stay in this area, you know?
Oh my God, so excited. That was probably the best thing about signing with the Union is that it's where I grew up, so my whole family's here.
Yeah. Were they already fans of the team?
Yeah.
Perfect.
My whole family.
So they've all their merch, they got everything.
All right, they're all set to go.
My mom's already on my butt about getting a Freeze jersey though, so.
Are you living at home?
Yeah, right now I'm living at home. I'm still undecided about if I'm moving out or not. But
you're gonna move out.
Also, I mean,
yeah, you're definitely gonna move out when you're here playing locally for a team. Yes, absolutely.
You left college early, but it was Harvard that you left early. You know, so I mean, did you meet a little bit of a pushback from your family on that?
Not really. They're all pretty supportive, and
they all went to Yale, so it's all exactly. There's no problem.
No, they're all pretty supportive, and they just kind of said, do what you want. Just make sure, you know, at the end of your playing career that you get a degree, which is my plan.
Sure. No, it's a smart way to proceed, you know, but it is you have to sort of seize the moment, you know, and yeah, that's no part doubt. Of the deal, yeah.
I didn't want to put this off any longer.
Fafad, you have the nickname. Is this true? The nickname, your nickname is the Gazelle?
Yeah.
Are you happy with that name?
I love it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Because gazelle is a beautiful animal and certainly an adroit animal. I you know, I didn't know if you wanted like
animal.
The bear or
yeah. No, yeah, I wouldn't be fitting for a bear.
Okay.
My statue.
Okay.
Are you the fastest one on the team?
I want to say so. Unless
who would say no?
I'm not sure. Okay. I hope, you know, I hope not too many people. Maybe Freeze. I actually found out a fun fact. Freeze is a former track
Oh, star. Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah, so.
I don't know about star.
Have you guys had any sprints? Have you raced
Freeze
at all?
And I?
Yeah.
No. Nah,
goalie, so he's I don't do too much running.
What was your event in track?
The 110 hurdles, 200, and
oh
300
my God.
Hurdles.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we hear on our little info sheet here you like to do the eight minute ab workout.
Yep.
You do?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I do it. I do that same. I do 7 minutes and 50 seconds of wondering if I want to do it, and then
10 seconds.
And
then
ten seconds of like 6 and 2 minutes.
Right. Six two. Yeah. Well, listen, you've got to stay in shape, so obviously you gotta do whatever you gotta do. You guys just had spring training?
Yeah.
How'd things go there? They feel pretty good?
Great.
Nice.
We're coming back. It was warm for the most part during the whole month.
Orlando? Is that where you guys do it?
Clearwater.
Clearwater. Yeah. Clearwater's where it's at, man.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all happening down
the beach.
Yeah. I tell you what, we did it last year and went down for the Phil's training, and I was a little reticent to go down there. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, and there's so many Philadelphians and transplants down there.
Sure.
It's home. It's yeah. little
it's a
Philly.
Warmer Philly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a warmer Philly.
It's
exactly.
Philly South.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It legit is Philly South. People go down for every year, and it's a great place to train.
Definitely.
Well, listen, we know you guys' time is short. You got to get to practice. We don't want you to be late, get fines, anything like that. Your first year, so yeah, I understand that.
Can't keep the gazelle away.
But I do have some tickets for the home opener.
Nice.
It is Sunday at 1 o'clock. They're playing Toronto, and tickets are available at PhiladelphiaUnion.com. But I have a couple of pairs. You know what? I'm going to give away one now and one a little bit later on.
Oh, cool.
Cool with that. So we'll take, what's your jersey number?
Number 9.
All right, caller number 9. 215-263-WMMR. And then, Matt, later on, we'll use your jersey number.
Yeah.
What's your jersey number?
Number 1.
Number 1?
That's good. We didn't go with you first.
No, right? So we'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll set you guys up. And listen, for those of you who have never been to a Philadelphia Union game, even if soccer is not your sport, it is worth going to see for yourself. Number 1, we mentioned the Sons of Ben. crazy, over-the-top fans. That's fun while it's all going on in the background while you're watching the game. The food is fantastic.
It is.
They have all kinds of activities for kids outside before the game. There's this huge pregame thing that goes on, this tailgating thing, where there's all kinds of contests and parties and games and things like that.
And once you see it played in person, I think no matter what, even on television, it doesn't quite translate it. The experience is so much better if you're there. You'll really enjoy it.
Yep, most definitely. Guys, thanks for coming by. Appreciate
Thank you guys
it.
For Thank having us. Appreciate
Matt
it.
And Fafa on the program.
Either or, baby.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. We have an announcement for you, so don't stray too far.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So here's a first for us on the show. This is a text from Rob from Northeast Philly, and he says, this is going to sound stupid, but I'm streaming the show from 38,000 feet up high in a plane. Like a dope, I bought the Wi-Fi. Can I get a mile-high shard out?
Yeah.
We've never done that before.
No, never.
So this is a live mile-high shard out to Rob from Northeast Philly. There you go, man. Enjoy.
Did you see where he's flying to, Preston?
No.
He's flying down to Florida. He's Philly to Tampa. He's heading to Clearwater.
Oh, nice. For spring training and visiting family. So there you go. Well, let's make an announcement.
All right.
Let's do this right now.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the members of the Preston and Steve radio program are taking the show on the road. And it's interesting that we got that text just now because Friday, March 15th, the Preston and Steve show will return and broadcast live from Philly spring training in Clearwater, Florida. That is correct. We did it last year, and we had so much fun.
It really worked out. You know, I was the most on the fence about the whole thing, and I just felt I just felt it went so well, and it was such a good time. Totally. I don't remember Clearwater being that fun the times I've visited in the past, and it really is.
So we're doing a one-day live broadcast, which will be Friday, March 15th. We'll head down Thursday immediately after the show on the 14th, and we'll arrive and, you know, we'll hang out for the night, and then we get up really, really early in the morning and head to the ballpark.
Don't forget your hats and gloves.
Bring a jacket.
it was Florida. It was only 40 degrees. Jeez,
it was lower than it was in the 30s when we got there.
Effing freezing.
So none of us could believe it.
And then finished off the broadcast in T-shirts.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Right.
As soon as the sun came up, it was fantastic.
It was okay. Yeah.
It was a great day to take batting practice without any batting gloves. I thought, you know, just the crack of the bat and the rattling of the bat in my bare hands was awesome.
It hurt.
It hurt a lot.
Uh-huh.
But I toughed it out.
You got to have Charlie Manuel and Larry Boa watch you take batting practice.
That was pretty cool.
That part was neat.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I got to throw out the first pitch.
And you had a catch with Gabe Kapler.
Yes. I had a catch with Gabe Kapler on the side, and it was so cool. We met a lot of great people. Reese Hoskins came over and spent some time with us.
And Boa, Charlie Manuel, Gabe Kapler stopped by, and we have some interesting guests lined up for this year as well.
Yeah, so we're headed there. Now, listen, you can come and join us because afterwards we'll be hanging out at the game. So it goes straight from a broadcast to a baseball game. And we'll be at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion. It's in the left field. And trust me, if you've been there, you know it. It's this awesome little area.
I'm looking forward to this because I left immediately after last year. And when I left, there was all... I mean, it is. It's little Philly. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So I'm leaving on Saturday. I want to hang out and experience the game and hang out with you.
Everybody from everybody in the ballpark is, you know, they're from the area or they're transplants. And they now live there. I don't know how many people...
Yes.
You guys spoke to, but I did. That was like greatest thing I ever did in my life was move down here. They love living there.
There were really no detractors to it. There was somebody who drove. Kathy, you remember this? Drove like two and a half hours just to come down
from Jacksonville.
Yeah,
she came pretty far. But there's a lot of people that are from Philadelphia, like you guys said, that have transplanted to Florida, and of course they come out to this game when the Phillies are playing, and a lot of them coming up to us. When we were there last year.
This I think will be my fifth or sixth time going to Clearwater for spring training. I love it. I try to get down as often as I can. And one thing that I've always found fascinating is that you run into people in Clearwater or at the game that you had no idea were also in Philadelphia. I mean, in Clearwater, they're down there too, and it just becomes this destination. And we're there St. Patrick's Day weekend, so the game on Sunday is St. Patrick's Day game, and that turns into a massive party as well.
So it is sponsored, and by the way, we're very proud of this sponsored by Xfinity.
Yes. Hey.
We actually have a sponsor, which is wonderful, which means we can do things. We have more latitude to work with and the equipment we can take because it does cost a bit of money to get down there. So we thank very, very wholeheartedly Xfinity.
Worldly known good guys.
Stay connected during the Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, so you'll be able to see it. So the Phils are playing the Blue Jays that day. They played the Blue Jays last time, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah, the Blue Jays are, their home field is only about 15 minutes away, so they play them a lot. They're in Dunedin, I think, right up the road on the Gulf Coast.
The gates for the Spectrum Field open at 10:35 a.m., so we'll be at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion and left field, and we're doing a Preston and Steve Show meetup. We're going to do a hangout. I think my mom and sister are going to come because they live in St. Pete. So they're going to come to the game. We went to
Maybe
the game
your mom could take batting practice.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh, my God. So
that's your fastball.
We are looking forward to this. So hopefully, if you're going to be down there, let us know, and we can meet up and say hi.
Is it possible to make, like, at this point, to make, if you weren't, make plans to get down there and get a ticket?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. The flights are pretty expensive.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow, headed back to spring training should be pretty cool.
You know what? Start a GoFundMe campaign.
To get down there? Sure. Why sure, not?
Need right to see Preston and Steven Clearwater. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I wanted to mention this. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but a little factoid. It was actually yesterday. I wish I would have brought it up yesterday, but it was 100 years ago yesterday. That Grand Canyon National Park was founded.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, February 26, 1919, 100 years ago.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Did you hear that? Did you see that recent story, though, about it? Mm-mm. There was a piece of, I guess, in the Grand Canyon Museum.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that?
No. So it was radioactive.
Radioactive.
No. Yeah, so they had some uranium. Oops. Which you can find buried out in the, you know, out in the wilds of the western United States. I mean, that's they mine that stuff. And they had some containers with uranium in the museum. And so not really a danger to people who would come by for a few seconds and take a look. But for the people that work there
it's been around it all the could time, could be an issue, yeah.
Could be a bit of an issue.
There was a moment two summers ago, Casey, where you were down in the river in the Grand Canyon National Park, and I was up on the rim, and it was so cool to be in the same national park with you at the same time. I wish we could have met up, but the trip that you did, I've wanted to do my whole life. I'm sure I'll get to it at some point, but it's just such an you can't ever capture it in photos or video. You have to go there to see it. And your experience in the river is something that I definitely is on my
bucket. So Casey was doing water sports and you were rimming.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was rim jobs.
Which one of you was pegging?
Right.
Neither of us? Or at least I wasn't. I'm actually thinking about doing it again this summer.
Wow. Really?
It was such a neat, amazing experience.
But go the other way?
No. Yeah, I'm going to swim against the current.
Although that was one of the best videos you posted from your trip.
Oh, I was the salmon?
When you were the salmon swimming up the river.
That was like Havasu Falls. And there are just, when you spend, you know, the entire week on the river just going downstream and you're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the canyon, you know, every morning you wake up, it's just, you just look at this.
Time to crap in my box.
Yes, in the Gruber. It was the most scenic dumps I've ever taken in my life.
If you've never been, honestly, once you get there, I would say this: the first time you see it, you actually lose your breath. It's that. Oh my God!
Did you say the Gruber?
The Groover.
Oh
yeah, I just called it a poop box, but apparently the poop box has a name. I think
the Groover.
It's called the Groover.
Yeah,
the Groover.
Getting in the Groover, man.
Yeah, know that. I want to take my son and
show him the box.
Show him, dude. Show him
Casey. What a way to bond with your son, though.
Right?
To do something like that. That's very cool.
So when I was on the trip, there was a guy there with his son who was around my son's age, around 12, and that little kid's name was Casey as well, and there were just moments, because I wasn't there with my immediate family, there were just moments that, you know, I was capturing.
Yeah.
Watching those guys, I'm like, man, that is so neat, you know? And
cool.
To be able to have that and at an age where he's definitely going to remember a lot of it.
Yeah. The Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania, Nick, you keep mentioning
the name. That's what it's called. It's outside of Wellsboro, which is in upstate Pennsylvania. It's maybe half hour or so from the New York border. And listen, it's a really cool thing to go see. it is not the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, of course.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, meter yeah. your expectations. But if you're in upstate Pennsylvania, I do recommend it. It's a cool hike. It's a lot of fun, especially in the fall when you get full foliage and that kind of stuff. But it pales in comparison to the actual
Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
That might be a good start for me. I looked at your pictures and Andrea's pictures. You guys took great ones on your vacation. And when Nick got back, I asked him a lot of questions. And it was, can I stay? And it really was serious. Can I stay at a hotel and somehow get to this spot? And a lot of the places he went to, he was like, no, not really.
I did a very different trip than Casey, and Casey's was cool, but mine was cool as well. And I did this hike called Havasu Pie Falls, and we hiked down into the Grand Canyon. And I've done three massive hikes in my life. One was Kilimanjaro, which I did successfully. One was Mount Rainier, which I didn't make it to the summit of.
Kilimanjaro.
This was the third one, and this was the third most difficult hike I've ever done in my life because we packed in and out. We carried all our gear. Hmm. We had all our tent with us. So, Kathy, you could never do it.
Yeah.
But Havasu Pie Falls is unbelievably beautiful. It's on private land just outside of the national park.
And there are beautiful hotels. There are, like, resort hotels that are in the
that's,
area.
That's what I was going to say. You can stay in the national park on the south rim of the Grand Canyon and stay in the lodge, and that's gorgeous.
Imagine you talk Kathy into doing something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you
forget
it. You get several hours into it.
The other campers are leaving.
Oh, no, no, here, hold on, wait, let me correct you. There's, I could do it. I could do the hike. I could not sleep out there.
No.
There's no way.
See, I didn't sleep in a tent, Kathy. I just slept under the stars.
No, thank you.
Okay, so I saw a tent-type configuration that I think might work.
We could go away.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
We
you
could
get
go away.
That.
Yeah,
and
we
go
will
hiking.
Go away, yeah.
I mean,
what,
that's crazy.
That you carry
it's
on
sort
your own? Of, it's elevated, like it's off the ground, and it puts together really quickly, and it's like a higher-end thing.
You got to show me this.
No bugs that can get in there.
No bears.
Does it come
no
with
canyon bears.
And does it come with someone that carries your stuff for
it
you?
It comes with a porter. Yeah.
There's a luxury hotel called the Yavapai Lodge, and it's in on the south rim of the Grand Canyon. It is one of those old-school American West lodges. Kathy, you and Steve could stay there. They have views of the Grand Canyon. They have great dinners, like high-end dinners. So and really nice rooms. You guys could stay there. You'd
be fine. We did a day trip at a dude ranch, and man, they said I was quite a cowpoke.
Nick, though, the one picture that you posted was actually listed on like one of the greatest places to see. Maybe it was the falls, but you said it took like 4 or 5 hours to get there, right? To walk there.
Yeah. I mean, it's 13 miles down and then 13 miles up, and it was several thousand feet of elevation gain and loss. And yeah, I mean, it's Havasu Pie Falls. You have to get a permit to get down there because it is private land. So it was a real process, and it was really, really hard.
All right, we're looking at the tent that Steve was talking about. So
that's not going to do it for me.
Oh, it's awesome inside. It's got home theater.
No, I like it.
Essentially, it's a tent that's not on the ground.
Right.
It's just raised.
You have to worry about the
does it have a bathroom and a shower in it?
No.
It's so crazy. Like, so I never once did I ever feel like I was roughing it. You know, even though I slept
you were crapping on a box.
I know, but it just didn't. Everybody else was. And so it didn't. And listen, I'm different than you, Kathy. things like that don't necessarily bother me. But, I mean, we had great breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Think of all the time. You don't spend all that time
crapping.
Yeah.
Kathy, so...
But the one time that I have to, I don't want to do it outside.
Yeah, but it would be
a
couple of minutes and you're done. I know.
It's okay.
But, I mean, you'll live. It's okay.
Nah.
Yeah, she wants her hotel, and
there are other beautiful places that have hotels near them.
I can't say I can argue with that. I do understand the mentality.
But, I mean, honestly, I'm glad Kathy and people like Kathy don't go on these trips because they could easily...
You have a good point.
Ruin it for everybody.
With their moaning.
Yeah.
Listen, I know my limitations, and I'm not going to ruin anybody else's time by bringing a tent and trying to sleep outside.
No, you're not going to eat up valuable travel time. But Casey, if you do go, and I know, Nick, you did it, and you recommend it to anybody, put some pork and beans into the flashlight.
Yes.
Just like the Brady Bunch.
<Right. laughs>
Somebody texted in, this is Kathy, where can I plug in my flat iron?
True.
I can see, Kathy, you can say, can we, you know, I'm looking at these pictures that Nick had pulled up, these beautiful waterfalls and stuff that you visited, you know, can we fly a helicopter into there?
Well,
you can.
Yeah, I don't like talking about it, though, because I don't want people like Kathy there.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Right? Well, no, I would You genuinely love a place like that. I would, again, I wouldn't want to get there the way you guys did.
You don't want to sleep there.
No. I could hike down it. I could make my way down and make my way back. But if I had to then camp afterwards, no thanks.
Nick, I have a question because the interns have pulled up a picture of the Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at trying to get an idea of the scope of it. You've been to Yellowstone.
Yes.
You've been to the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone.
Yes.
It looks like it's about the size of that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a pretty fair comparison.
And that's impressive.
It is.
I mean, so...
And there's waterfalls on either end of that. There's the upper falls and the lower falls. I mean, in Yellowstone. And the cool thing about the Grand Canyon of PA is that you start up high, you work your way down to the river down below, and there's an old railroad line that they've converted into a bike path and a hiking path, which is flat and goes along the river. So you can camp near there. It's a cool place to visit.
Yeah. I love stuff like this. I love hiking. I hike all the time, and this looks like a cool area.
Yeah,
it's scenic.
Route 6 is the road that goes across that part of Pennsylvania and through. And Wellsboro itself is a nice little town and it's small town charm.
Get
in
out.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Get out.
Get out of here. I'll order with your fancy gadgets.
I'm overdue for a trip into the American West. I've always wanted to take I've talked about it many times on the show, wanting to take my family to go to, Zion or Bryce Canyons and so forth.
Just what you should do is take a trip by yourself and go camp at Lauren Harris's house.
Where is she?
In Washington.
Seattle area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably really beautiful. I'll do it. Okay.
Okay, you'll do it?
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, good. Take him up for the team.
You have been to the Grand Canyon, though, right, Preston?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, my dad and I hiked down to the canyon floor.
This isn't going to work.
Okay. bit much. No, we hiked down to the canyon floor. We did not go all the way down to the river, to the Colorado River, right? And is that, yes.
Yeah.
And, but it was far enough because once you get to that, to the canyon floor, and then we went all the way up to the next, area that you can look down and see the river, and it's yet several hundred more feet
Bright Angel Trail. Do you remember? That's one of the main
sounds
ones.
Sounds familiar.
Okay.
It's the one that they do the donkeys.
Yeah.
And my dad weighed too much, so we couldn't take the donkey. We had to walk.
Was the donkey on his back?
He should have been, but my dad at the time weighed too much. They were not, because it would stress the animals out, and you can't do that.
What's the max weight for a donkey?
I don't remember. Maybe I don't know, 225 or something like that. I'm not really sure. But so we had to walk it, and it took all day, and it was hot as balls.
Yeah.
But it was gorgeous. It was really, really cool. We saw all kinds of wildlife, and it was really neat.
It's why it's one of the natural wonders of the world.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there are 61 official national parks in the United States, and that is one of them. It's the jewel of the American National Park System is the Grand Canyon. There's a reason why 3 or 4 million people go every year. But if you do get a chance, the North Rim is a great place. If we're talking about rims, the North Rim is the one is a one to visit as well. Because
and if you can get a job there,
if you get a rim job is a great way to spend the summer. And but the interesting thing about the North Rim is that it's about 1,000 feet higher in elevation than the South Rim. So
yes, I'm interested in rim jobs.
Let it. 1,000 feet higher in elevation, so it opens later in the year. It opens after May. There's often snow, but there's the reason I'm bringing it up is that there's far fewer people on the North Rim than there are on the South Rim. So if you're looking for smaller crowds, check out the North Rim of the Grand Canyon.
Okay, rim job is one of my favorite.
Oh my God.
Terms ever.
Absolutely, because you love canyons.
It is not used enough.
No, it is not.
When you talk about
at least not in Parliament
rimming someone. So thank you for bringing that up, Nick, and that tip about going to the North Rim.
Yeah, if you're looking for
good tips about rim jobs.
Yeah. Kathy, what is the roughest you've ever had it? Have you gone
camping?
I've never camped in my life.
Really?
No, we camped in our backyard one night, and we came in at about 1 a.m. Me and my cousin.
Would you ever be open to doing it? Just
no.
To I mean, why?
No.
Can you let me finish,
sure.
Please?
Yeah, go ahead. Probably not.
She's not. She is not going to do it. What she would do, though, and I agree with her, I would take glamping.
Preston, no, sorry, go ahead. No,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Preston, here's what you need to do, Preston.
Preston just held up a camp she might like.
Hold on, what's that?
Yeah. Camp C.
See you next Tuesday. Turn her microphone off as you're asking the question. That way you can get the whole question in.
No,
go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say, would you be open to doing it one night, just to try it out? That could be a fun event for us.
We talked about it. It's still hard to get over that hump about doing an actual campout night with the show.
Yeah.
And go out and do the whole deal with the s'mores and everything.
It'd be easy. All we have to do is do it. That's all we got to do.
I would really love glamping, though. I think that would be so cool.
Preston, even you know, you've seen that there's like a couple of glamping sites like in Yellowstone.
There's a place called the Paws Up Ranch. That's what you
want. All the dead animals go.
No, find the Paws Up Ranch. It'll blow you away.
Tim Graham just did that last year.
That wasn't glamping enough.
It wasn't enough?
No.
They were in like a really beautiful yurt.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
Scroll through some pictures for Kathy to see the Paws Up Ranch, because I've had this thing on my radar for years. It's just, I don't know if I can justify the amount of money that you pay for the whole thing. But some of these, you know, tents, quote unquote tents they have there, it's, you know, you'll have your bathroom in there.
Okay, perfect.
You've got, you know, fur-lined floors and all this stuff.
Call up the Fairmount Hotel. It's in
Banff?
In Canada, yeah.
In Canada, yes.
That's how you camp.
Well, that's a hotel. That's not glamping.
Oh, it's completely camping.
It is?
You have elevators and indoor rooms and TVs.
I know the place you're talking about.
That's awesome.
Mm. All right, we'll go stay at a hotel.
Yeah, I mean,
campground called Rittenhouse.
Yeah. I love that campground. I'm looking at their Instagram page.
Four Seasons campground?
No, the one that Preston was talking about, the Paws Up.
It's pretty amazing.
Here, Kathy, this is my, I want to go camping there.
Is that the hotel that you stayed at, picture? Yeah, that's beautiful.
It doesn't even look real.
Yeah. Have you been there, Steve?
No, but the Fairmount hotels are one of my favorite chains of hotels. They're just gorgeous. You know, my thing is, if you can do it, if you're going to, you know, save up and go on a trip, make sure the hotel is killer. I think you agree with this, Preston, because even if the location ends up sucking, at least the hotel can make it better.
You got the hotel to fall back on.
The place you're talking about, one of the ranches or whatever it is, has two floors. So two-floor camping. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I love it.
Two-floor tent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of hotels and so forth, I found this kind of interesting. We're going to have to take a break here in a moment. But there's a guy named Terry Robinson, and he's making sure that his retirement plans are sorted out when the time comes, but where he's considering living has people talking. In a Facebook post that's now more than 77,000 shares, he explains why he and his wife, instead of going to a retirement community, are going to be checking into the Holiday Inn.
I think this is actually pretty smart.
According to his research, the average cost for nursing home care is around $188 per day, where If he uses senior discount for the long-term stay at Holiday Inn, he pays $59.23 a day.
No way.
Versus $188 per day. And he said, in turn, that leaves him with $128.77 a day for food, room service, laundry, gratuities, and movies.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Really,
it is actually pretty smart if you're gonna run lean and mean. Though I tell you what, I see some of these commercials for these retirement villages. I'm like, holy crap, that looks awesome.
Yeah. But the thing is he's they wouldn't just stay in one Holiday Inn because they can move around from hotel to hotel and travel around and stay there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or cheaper than they would be at some kind of an assisted living facility.
Gaining points along the way.
Maybe so, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you would have to. You'd be earning points at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty smart. So that's the plan for this guy, and I don't think the hotel has really commented on
that. They have not commented.
As of yet. Let me go to, hang on a second. I'm going to go to Jason, who's doing a thing at the Grand Canyon. By the way, 100 years old, not the actual canyon. I mean, the fact that it's a national.
You know that thing? Oh, my God.
In 1918, it was flat.
They must have had bulldozers working night and day.
It was established a national park 100 years ago yesterday. Jason, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
So at the Grand Canyon, I haven't done this yet. I have a lot of friends of mine that do this, and I think, Nick, you were talking about it. I heard you guys say, rim job or whatever.
Right.
So, but there's an actual race. It's non-sanctioned, so there's no medal. There's no time. Like, it's you don't get a medal for it. But it's called rim to rim.
Rim to rim.
Correct. So you run from one side to another.
Any idea how long that is?
I'm guessing in one shot, maybe 30 miles from start to finish.
Mm, I'm going to try that instead.
One side to another.
But people have done, friends of mine have done rim to rim, and they have also done rim to rim to rim. So you go from start to the other side and then go back to the start.
Yeah, and how many hours?
Yeah. Probably at least under 24 hours.
Wow, no, that's nuts. No, that's a whole bunch. Yes. But is there, there's a, it is organized, right?
It's organized. It's actually, probably some of my friends are listening right now. What it's called?
I can't understand you. Your phone line is sounds terrible, so but we'll have to look that up. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. No. I mean, listen, I'll go.
You don't want to run from rim to rim to rim?
I'm not running rim to rim to rim. Let me go next to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
Hey, I've been to both the North Rim and the South Rim several times, and the North Rim by far is much prettier, much less crowded. It's a lot more woodsy and forest, less desert, but also up north, because you're so close to Utah, when you're driving, you know, it's a lot of two-lane roads, and you stop at little gas stations, food stops, whatever.
Yeah.
You see a lot of those weirdo polygamists.
Yeah, that's one of the communities or parts of the country where they live, especially north of the North Rim and the Grand Canyon, south of Utah. Yeah, because there's very little governmental interference. And so they built these communities out there where it's not really federally allowed, but they sort of get away with it. And there are
sure, they have a lot of rim jobs.
There's a few small towns that are kind of third worldish because of their views on polygamy.
Well, you will find some, you know, when I did stand-up comedy, I was out in these areas a lot, and believe it or not, like in these places that would book bizarrely book comedy shows, and you would find these places that I would call them lands that time forgot.
You know,
that just lived in their own world.
Lisa, did you meet with some of these people or talk to any of these groups?
I just remember one time we were at a gas station in a mini market, and a whole, like, van load of them was unloading. And I was traveling with my family and my extended family. And my son's disabled, and they were just, I mean, you know, it's not politically correct to stare at disabled people, but they didn't care. I mean,
no.
You know, it was just, I guess, you know, people around here have a fascination with going and looking at the Amish.
Yeah.
So I would guess it's the same
thing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They were like making fun of your disabled friend?
They were staring.
It's my son. They were making fun of him, but the kids were just, I mean,
they've never seen anyone like that.
Yeah, they've never seen anything like it. And their chins were on the ground. They were just like amazed at him. I mean, they just had obviously.
What are those white things in your mouth?
Teeth. Yeah, they don't care about you.
Thanks, Lisa.
They'll stick to themselves,
their own world.
So when you're asking if, you know, do you get to talk to them? No, they don't want to talk to you.
All they care about are their OLED televisions.
Yeah, no, I saw them when I was in, I believe we popped into Utah for a hot minute.
The braids.
I was talking about the ladies there with their braided hair.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are two
braid ladies.
There are two towns in that part of Arizona, northern Arizona, called Fredonia and Colorado City. And there's a great book. I know we got to wrap up, but there's a great book called Under the Banner of Heaven by John Krakauer. If you're interested in diving into polygamy and that part of America, Under the Banner of Heaven, it'll blow your socks off.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. Well, just wanted to bring up facts. Pretty damn cool. 100 years ago that was established as a
national. They built the Grand Canyon 100 years ago.
They built the Grand Canyon. They dug the Grand Canyon 100 years ago.
God bless them.
I think we should all take a moment and think about that today. We're going to take a break, and we're going to give away, you know what, Case? What should I give away? Yeah, the Union tickets.
So, yeah.
The Philadelphia Union have their home opener on Sunday against Toronto. It's at 1 o'clock.
Saturday, isn't it?
It says Sunday right here.
Oh.
Home opener this Sunday. On this says Saturday and this says Sunday.
Oh, jeez.
You figure it out.
Yeah.
And then it says Sunday here. So, whatever. 215-26. You want free tickets? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. And
you figure out what it is.
You figure it out. What do you want from us?
We gave you free stuff.
We're giving you the guy.
You have to do everything?
And by the way, we're taking caller number one.
Okay.
Remember? Because of Matt Freeze's number, 215-263-WMMR. Is it Saturday?
Saturday, March 2nd.
There you go. Saturday is the correct answer. Thank you, Casey. We're going to take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st, for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think I'm going to call an audible here, Steve.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to bring up a story and get some calls on it, but I think I'm going to hold on to it.
Oh, and I know. Okay, and
wait,
I agree with that.
Wait till tomorrow, something like that. But I have a lot of food stories today.
Oh!
And I think I might have to put my chef's hat on.
It's time for... Go ahead, say
the connoisseur.
The connoisseur! Thank you.
No, you were waiting for me. Okay, so I saw this morning and thought it was worth bringing up because I personally have had my own theories about this, but never really knew until I read what the difference between pastrami and corned beef is. Because they're very similar.
Yeah, my mother, you know, it's been decades since my mother passed away. One of my most prominent memories of my mother was how much she loved pastrami sandwiches.
No kidding.
Loved pastrami. We used to go to a... after church, as I'm sure most Roman Catholics did at the time, we went to a Jewish deli.
You go to the Jewish deli.
And my mother loved her pastrami sandwiches. And so it was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I like them both. I love corned beef because I like Reuben sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Pastrami sandwiches are great, man. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Like a real, real pastrami sandwich.
Yeah, really, really thick, piled high, thick and everything. But they've always seemed quite similar, but they are different. Corned beef is typically made by salt curing beef, usually a brisket. So that's the cut. Pastrami, on the other hand, is generally cut from the cow's navel area.
Mm.
It's
it's still screaming.
It's less stringy than corned beef when you eat it. Pastrami can be made with the brisket, meaning in some cases the only difference between the two dishes is in the cooking
biscuits.
Is in the cooking process. Now, corned beef is either boiled or steamed after being salt cured, so that's usually how you prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
While pastrami is usually seasoned with a dry spice mix, it is smoked and then steamed again before serving.
How about you guys? Are you guys...
I'm a turkey guy.
Yeah, turkey rules for me, but yeah, but an occasional pastrami sandwich, damn good.
If I go to Murray or Jaime's around the corner, I'll definitely get a corned beef. I like to get it lean, the special. So it's got
the cream soda, please.
It's got the Russian dressing and the coleslaw.
You like a nice MLT, a mutton lettuce and tomato sandwich where the mutton is nice and lean.
Yes. What is that?
That's from Princess Bride. Mutton is nice and lean. So anyhow, the dry
lathe.
Oh, look who knows so much. The dry spice mix that they use on pastrami is pretty similar to what's used in the salty brine that is used, with corned beef.
Yes, how's your salty brine?
So that's how they make. Listen, speaking of salty foods and so forth, there was a Netflix. I was just searching around for something different to watch. There was a Netflix series, a cooking series.
Stranger Corned Beef.
No, but it's called Salt, Fat. Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat.
Yeah.
And the lady that's on there is great.
She's a phenomenal host.
Really, really well done. It's only four episodes. Huh. One focuses on salt, one focuses on fat, one focuses on vinegar, essentially, which is the acid. And one on the heat. And I haven't watched them all yet, but it's really, really
It's about
good.
All foods in these various, that rely on these various.
Well, no, she has come to the realization, and she's a cultured and learned chef.
Yes.
That if you want something that tastes phenomenal, you have to have all four of those. You got to have fat, you got to have salt, you got to have heat, and you have to have acid. in order for, to have the sublime taste of flavor.
And she endeavors to prove that point.
Well, she goes on to show you some of the origins of these flavors, and she travels all around the world. And
is this the series where Frank Grillo goes and fights a whole bunch of people?
No, that's completely different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just saw this lady on one of those afternoon talk shows. I don't think it was Ellen, but and I'm like, I don't know where this chick came
Steve
from.
Steve Rokos?
Yeah, she's an author and an accomplished chef in and of herself. And then she the book helped lead to this series, and it's really well done, and they spend a lot of time with cheese.
God,
and,
I'm getting hungry just looking at this.
Steve, it actually, it's one of those series that when you watch it, it makes you want to be a better chef, be a better cook, and get into the kitchen. And, then you just end up going to Panera or
and
whatever.
She's got this great personality, and her knowledge is very, very broad. So, salt, fat, acid, and heat. If you get a chance, check that out. It's on Netflix. So, anyhow, she goes to the reason I bring it up. They go through salt curing and things like that.
Okay.
And how that stuff is made, which is pretty cool. All right, what else do I have?
More than the connoisseur. Salt, fat, heat.
Let's get to junk. Let's get to garbage now.
Junk. Junk food, as in junk food connoisseur?
Yeah. Peeps announced 7 new sugary flavors for their marshmallow chicks.
As we start to approach Easter?
Yeah, this is probably the smartest thing they can do. They're already a staple, but if they want to, you know, put a fresh coat on this.
They need to. They need to upgrade the Peeps. I've never been a huge Peeps fan.
No.
I hate them.
To me, it's like eating dried insulin.
I appreciate the way they look. I think it's cute. And I associate them with Easter, and it brings fond memories, but I would not want to eat one.
They tried marshmallow Christ figures, but it just didn't work.
Didn't they do like a sour Peep last year?
May have, Casey, but here's what they're coming out with this year. The 7 new flavors are pancakes and syrup, cotton candy.
How about s'mores?
Orange sherbet dipped in creme-flavored fudge. I kind of like the sound of that. Root beer float, vanilla cream, chocolate caramel swirl.
Well, there you go. That now you're in the realm.
And blue raspberry.
All right, the chocolate caramel swirl is interesting. I just don't like. I find Peeps unbearably sweet.
I have actually shied away from marshmallows altogether.
You don't like marshmallows?
I haven't eaten one in years. I just got tired of them.
S'mores are as close as I get, and they're only things that are s'mores tasting.
Yeah, for my daughter's birthday party, we bought a chocolate fountain. Mm-hmm. They're awesome, by the way. They're really, really fun, and it's great for kids' parties. But I had a chocolate-covered marshmallow in one of those things, and I'm not a marshmallow guy either. That's the way to go.
You liked it?
That's the way to go.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, Casey, apparently they did, I guess it was last year, they did the Peeps Oreos experiment, which ended up turning people's poop bright pink.
Oh, that's cool. We should do that.
Yes. Now, here's what I didn't know.
Corned beef and Peeps?
That Peeps is made in, they're made in Bethlehem, so they're not too far away.
Jesus was born.
The Pennsylvania-based manufacturer Just Born Incorporated.
So it's a local?
Unveiled the new chicks and
company. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I definitely prefer the bunny Peep over the chick Peep.
There's a discernible difference in taste?
They're just thinner.
Okay.
And so I like that. And then also, I feel like they're better when they're just a little bit stale.
I'd be curious on a sidetrack here, Preston, but it falls within the realm of the connoisseur. What food companies that are sort of legendary and iconic are in this area? I was surprised to learn, like, was it Ghirardelli?
No, that's San Francisco.
There's another one, though, that is high-end chocolate.
Dove, maybe? I remember somebody sent us a bunch of Dove stuff years ago.
They
sent us the imperfected pieces. I thought it was Dove.
It's the one.
Was it Godiva?
Godiva.
Godiva. Godiva's
even
great.
Better.
Yeah.
Even better.
That's my wife's factory
in the area. I think their headquarters aren't here, but they have a factory. Because remember, we got those the cast-offs.
And they were awesome.
Yeah, they were so good.
Send us all your cast-offs.
Yeah.
Well, we know the Hearst Potato Chip Factory is around here because somebody ended up going there instead of the UN.
That's right.
The Crayola
trip we heard about the other day. Crayola.
Delicious.
Yeah, but Steve's talking about food.
Oh, food. Oh, yeah. Oh, who doesn't eat crayons?
Snyder's of Hanover, the pretzels.
Snyder's is
that's
is
not the, that far.
Is their main?
Yeah, it's in Hanover.
Oreo was, or are they now in Mexico?
Nabisco had that the facility in the Northeast on the Boulevard, but that's not there anymore. But yeah, Snyder's of Hanover, PA. make the pretzels.
Down in between, like, Diamond Beach, Wildwood area, and Cape May is... Is it Starkist tuna or is it Bumblebee tuna? I don't know if that's the like headquarter, but whenever I ride my bike across the bridge, right to the left there is a tuna factory. What, all right, what are the tuna
factory?
Yeah, what are the tuna factories? Not Starkist.
Yeah, I have a book at home.
Starkist, Chicken of the Sea, and Bumblebee are some of the popular brands.
Maybe it's Bumblebee. Okay. It is Starkist. No, it is not Starkist.
Okay, who cares?
You know, right, Kathy? Who cares? But we are, you know, it is part of the topic of conversation.
No, it's right there. It's in this, it's South Korea there.
I don't know about
it's
that case.
Bumblebee, Preston. Back to you.
Okay. So, anyhow, I'm sure that there are many other places around here. By the way, speaking of the shore and all that, is there any place that has better saltwater taffy than another, or is it all pretty much just the same?
Frailinger's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for.
Yeah.
That's in Ocean City, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm over saltwater taffy. I'm over,
you like the tuna flavored saltwater.
I like the tuna flavor one. I'm over fudge, but I'll never pass up a free fudge sample on the boardwalk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. I hear you, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Let me tell you this. That the ice cream.
You talking about Zaz?
Zaz. You know, there's a brick-and-mortar store now on Germantown Avenue right in Mount Airy.
Yeah.
Hamana. You turned me on to that.
I know. It still pisses me off that somebody ganked all of our Zaz out of the freezer.
She knows about it. The owner, she's wonderful. And they're going to un-gank that for us.
Dude, speaking of which, my wife ganked my leftovers out of the fridge yesterday. I got home from work yesterday.
Can't do it.
Expecting to have that.
Do you know how many times?
I'm not going to say.
I want to know.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you that it was mozzarella cheese fries that I was saving.
I think she owes you a tug on the love gang.
You can't reheat fries.
And yes, mozzarella cheese fries, you can.
Connoisseur, may I step in here for a second?
Yeah.
The air fryer. Do you have one?
No.
That's where you could probably do it.
Really?
We honestly, if you don't have an air fryer, they are phenomenal. Fries are always problematic.
Yeah.
For a reheat on fries... They're a home run.
Yeah.
Air fryers.
So
aloha.
So they don't. They're not all mushy.
No. Okay. You get a nice crispiness.
Do you guys like mozzarella cheese fries or no? Because they usually put it in that little tinfoil container so that you can put it in the oven.
Describe to me mozzarella cheese fries.
It's just regular French fries
with mozzarella cheese.
Mozzarella cheese on it. But the way they prepare it is they put it in a. And like one of those tinfoil bowls, and then the cheese melts all in there. So that way, if you do want to reheat it, Kathy, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not big on those.
No?
I'm not big on cheese fries altogether. I used to like them, and then got tired of them.
May I suggest something to you?
Sure.
The Parmesan fries.
Yes. Well, I've had the greatest fries in the world, the sexy fries, which from Butcher and Barkeep, which no place in the world can touch. But you would not have them. You'd have to go there.
Okay.
They would never travel well.
Are you inviting me over there?
I will invite. I want to take you there.
Okay.
To have sexy fries.
Wait a second. Don't they have a vehicle driving some over right now for free advertising?
Yeah. I'm telling you, they wouldn't travel well.
Okay.
They would
now,
not
fries,
travel
fries
well.
Seldom do.
Yeah. So, but the... The air fryer is a novel idea for reheating fries.
It really is.
Okay.
I didn't mean to usurp the concept.
I'm glad. I'm actually glad you jumped in there. Let's stick with cheese sauces for a moment.
The connoisseur suggests we stay.
Chick-fil-A is reportedly selling a thick and goopy cheese sauce in about 190 restaurants in the country's Northeast and Midwest.
You want to talk about good fries? They're waffle fries there.
I love their waffle fries.
They're waffle fries, man.
Judging from the reactions on Twitter, those who have had it enjoy it, with one writing, the cheese sauce from Chick-fil-A is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I do like the...
I ganked all over my pants.
The Chick-fil-A sauce is pretty damn good, too.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really, really
good. I've never used.
It's almost like a honey mustard with some barbecue flavor mixed in it, too. So the next time you're there and you order fries, make sure you ask for a Chick-fil-A sauce.
All right.
Because it's really good. It's what they give to you for the giant nugget trays that you can take home. And the Chick-fil-A sauce comes.
Why are their waffle fries so good? So many botch them, but Chick-fil-A's, they do not. They're good.
Well, I mean, I used to be anti-waffle fry until...
One pulled you out of a fire.
Yeah, and I owe my life to them.
We'll stick with sauce for a minute here. Ooh. No, no, you don't have to switch. No, no, no. I'm doing this. I'm trying to daisy chain these together so we don't have to do the music every time.
The connoisseur is daisy chaining.
McDonald's in Canada is about to add three new spicy McChicken options there, each with a different level of heat. So you get the spicy jalapeno McChicken that was released at the end of January. Features two layers of creamy jalapeno sauce on a regular McChicken. On the 12th, the habanero McChicken was released.
It's a little too hot.
Has habanero sauce on it, yes. But they are also releasing today the ghost pepper McChicken.
Oh, my God.
Which is would be way too hot.
Hey.
Features ghost pepper sauce. What?
So this is not going to be a lot. So many times you'll announce these in other countries. And mm-hmm. Canada, I think, is another country.
It is.
That I would say, and they never make it here.
You know what? They'll use them for test markets, and if they do well, then they'll, you know, they'll send them around.
But quite often they don't.
Yeah.
Is McDonald's doing the cheese fry now, too?
They have a bacon fry.
That's what
they have the bacon. My daughter, we were in line yesterday, and my daughter goes, I want to get the Baconator fries. I thought she was joking because the Baconator is a Wendy's product.
It is.
And so I heard her say that. I thought she was just making it up. And we went up to the window and she's like, Dad, didn't you hear what I said? I was like, what? She's like, I want the Baconator fries. I thought you were making that up.
I don't think they're called Baconator fries.
That's what she called them. So you're probably correct. It's probably a different name.
When the connoisseur completes this topic, there is an actual local food topic.
You can hit it. I'm done with that. Is this at the Wells Fargo Center?
Yes, it is. Did you see that whole thing? Do you have the specifics on it?
I do, yes.
This is the largest burger I've ever seen in my life.
Our buddy Jim Jackson was broadcasting the Flyers game last night, and they have debuted a new burger at the Wells Fargo Center, and I will give you the details. It is called the brand new Broad Street Burger. It's available only in the Cadillac Grill. 16 ounces of beef patty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's 2 pounds.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. That's 1 pound burger.
Stuffed with Cheese Whiz, topped with 8 ounces of beef tenderloin, crispy onions, and even more Cheese Whiz.
Okay.
And there's an Excalibur-sized steak knife that keeps the bun in place on top.
That's the Ruby Tuesday method.
Yeah.
Yes.
That too.
Yeah, so you can get that at the Wells Fargo Center now.
Wow.
I don't know what it costs, but I would like to try it.
I'm game to give that a shot.
When you order something like that, that's something you go halfsies on. Yeah.
You have to share it.
But I'll tell you this. Casey?
Did you see the look on his face? He's like, share.
Pussies.
Could you sock one of those away?
No way. No, I would. No, what I would do is I would eat half of it, and then I would
let your wife gank the other half.
Then she would gank the other half. And I would be so excited to eat it when I was on my way home from work. I would think about it for a half hour.
And then go home.
Then I would open the fridge door and it would be gone.
Casey, when we tried that Arby's meat stack sandwich a few years ago, do you remember that?
Was that what that was called?
Yeah. That was, even for me, that was too much, man. Yeah. Did you finish it, though? I don't remember. Okay. No.
I will tell you this picture of the game last night. I assume this is the game last night. Looks sensational.
Yep.
It's an orgy. It's decadent. It's meant to be that way. But sometimes you just have to dance with the devil.
Casey, did you tell Diane immediately about the French fries? Have you brought that up to her?
No, I texted her.
Okay.
I said, did you eat my fries?
What was her response?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh.
She's got it. That's cute. That's the way my wife would do it. well played, Diane.
All right. And then one more thing from the connoisseur.
Can I play the music?
We're going over to dessert now.
Over to the dessert with connoisseur. The meal is wrapping up, so make sure you pay attention.
This is my Achilles heel is ice cream. That's absolute. I've been on a diet and I'm kicking ass
and taking names.
3 more pounds and I've lost 30, which is pretty wild. But I still make sure that every day I have a little bit of ice cream at the end of the day.
Oh, I was wondering if you still did that.
I do. Yes, okay. I save my calorie room because I need to have it. It's my reward. It's what keeps me going through the day.
How much do you get?
What?
How much ice cream do you get?
I'll either, if I really want to watch it, I'll just do a half cup, which Kathy laughs at because it's not a whole lot.
Not me, my friend. She said that it's not even worth tasting it if he's only going to have a tiny bit.
It's kind of a tease.
but I've gotten a really, really good frozen yogurt, Froyo chocolate, and it's only like 80 calories per half cup. So I'll do a whole cup of that, and I'm good to go. So anyway, Haagen-Dazs. announced recently that they have a boozy ice cream line that they, and it's been out for a couple of weeks now, of the Spirits Collection, and it's got 7 alcoholic ice cream options.
This
flavor options, these sound really good, by the way.
Okay.
Irish cream brownie. Yum.
I wonder if I would like the taste of these things sans their alcohol.
Do you like rum cake?
I do not.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then you wouldn't like this.
Because of the taste of the rum.
Okay. See, I love it.
Yeah.
Bourbon vanilla bean truffle.
Okay.
Hilaire.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Rum tres leches.
Oh, I love tres leches.
That's dear three God. Leches.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bourbon praline pecan, stout chocolate pretzel crunch,
yes,
non-dairy amaretto black cherry almond toffee.
Nah.
I'd try it. And Irish cream ice cream cookie squares.
Oh.
Do you ever put
are chocolate cookies topped with Irish cream infused ice cream, dipped in dark chocolate.
If you take regular Irish cream, just take a Bailey's and pour it over vanilla ice cream, it's really good. Steve, you probably wouldn't like it because of the alcoholic taste, but if you do like alcohol and ice cream together, that's
wait, a good do you do?
Just regular Bailey's Irish cream. Yeah. Just pour it right over vanilla ice cream.
Ooh.
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's probably terrible for you in many different ways, but it's delish.
Do you like the black tar heroin swirl?
I don't. No. Not a fan. You got to inject it.
It's really, really wild.
Wow, no, I haven't tried that.
It's really amazing. You never recall tasting anything.
No.
You tend to black out.
I do like the methamphetamine sorbet.
Yeah.
Which is good in between dishes.
The meth.
Mm-hmm. So these are currently rolling out nationwide, or they've just been, or they won't be fully available until April. But those sound fantastic. Irish cream brownie, bourbon vanilla bean truffle, rum tres leches, bourbon praline pecan, stout chocolate pretzel crunch, non-dairy amaretto black cherry almond toffee, and Irish cream. I got to admit, man, Häagen-Dazs is a superior brand of ice cream.
Häagen-Dazs has maintained their level of competency, and I would say that there are brands that I was just mentioning the Zaz, which is really, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the core flavors tell you what the Häagen-Dazs's core chocolate is solid and vanilla. And when they can do that right, they can do everything right.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys tried the Big Gay ice cream that they sell at Wawa?
I have not. Casey. Though I hear it's great.
I had the blueberry you told me to try, the blueberry cobbler.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that made locally?
Big Gay ice cream is down. It's in the city. So I think it's a local. It's a national chain? Oh, Marissa says it's a national chain. I did not know that.
It is?
Okay, anyhow, this has been our food moment this morning with the Connoisseur.
The Connoisseur has made us all very hungry.
Yeah, so get yourself some lunch. Go ahead. It's not too early for that. It's 9:35. We're going to take a break. I want to give away some movie passes. We got the screening on Tuesday of Captain Marvel. And Case, can I have the price
sheet? Yeah, man.
Thank you very much. This will be at the Regal Warrington.
Ooh.
And you need to be there at 7 because the screening starts at 7:30. And let's put 5 people on the list right now, 215-263-WMMR. If you would like to go, we would like to send you there. It's next Tuesday. The movie doesn't open until next Friday, so you're in a few days early. Pretty sweet deal. We'll be back in a second. Got Bizarre File stories on the way next.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Dave Joyce. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Dave Joyce, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I was going to use a new traffic music bed, but I didn't want to throw you off without you noting about it, Kathy.
Oh, that's so okay.
Can we try it?
I didn't put it in there yet. So here's a look at traffic. Yeah.
You do, your urgent.
You do recognize it.
Yes.
But here we go.
It's your ha-ha moment.
Love it. What is it?
What is it?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even get this far into the song. I want to hear this. See if I can hit the high note.
I love that. You should use that just once for the actual traffic.
What is it about bad recorder playing that is just
this is the best?
It's hilarious. I love it.
Right. Every time I see the video to that, I think of Kathy's dad.
Oh.
Because he has his helmet. Skiing helmet made him look like one of the guards in the AHA video.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Is he going to be at the Cardboard Classic this year?
He is, yes.
Tell him to wear his AHA outfit.
Yeah, and we'll play this. What's that, Kathy?
He always wears a helmet when he skis. He's not the...
Is he going to be able to ski with his messed up leg?
He has already been on skis this season.
Wow. He's a dynamo, man. He fell 500 feet. Off a building. Well, he fell off
his leg, man.
He fell off. He was trying to change a light bulb, right? Or paint or something?
He was painting the ceiling, 16-foot ceiling, and fell off the ladder. Mm-hmm.
And refused to call the...
Yeah, he thought my brother could help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call 911. Yeah. Just call an ambulance.
No, don't. Yeah, I don't need 911. Just call the hospital. My brother was like, that is...
Do you have any sort of vehicle you could send over here to pick him up?
Yeah. All right, so we'll see Kathy's dad at Cardboard Classic. Hopefully we'll see you. Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to... This is a follow-up story to a fairly local story. A former school superintendent who made headlines after he was charged with defecating on another high school's track.
This still goes on.
Has asked New Jersey Attorney General to investigate whether police acted unlawfully when they took his mugshot and released it to the media.
Huh.
Attorney Matthew Adams said that the actions by the Holmdel Police Department, were designed to, quote, create a media spectacle around the charges against Thomas Tramaglini. Tramaglini was issued summonses in May after police alleged he repeatedly defecated on the Holmdel High School track. He eventually pleaded guilty to relieving himself in public on one occasion and paid a $500 fine. He resigned as superintendent of the Kenilworth School District. Adams alleged that state law prevents police from taking and releasing mugshots of people charged with low-level offenses such as those faced by Tramaglini.
Sometimes I poop my pants, so I have to wear a diaper to school.
He said a review of arrest reports provided by the township involved similar violations.
I miss Butters. I love that guy so much.
Of municipal ordinances since 2007 revealed no instances in which mugshots were released. So since 2007, did they ever release a mugshot like this? Until this one, they might have a case in that regard, I think.
Does a mugshot... I don't know the legality here. Does a mugshot fall under the... realm of public record?
Well, I don't know, but they said it hasn't been policy to release it on release the mugshots.
You might have a case
charged with low level offenses. In fact, it says state law prevents police from.
Well, there you go, and that is a low level offense.
Yeah,
you have to hunch over.
You're way down there.
Yeah, way down.
I mean, you got to squat, for Christ's sake.
It's like a limbo.
Tramaglini has already filed a notice of intent to sue the police department for potential damages of more than $1 million due to loss of income, harm of his reputation, emotional distress, and invasion of privacy. So, there you go. A Chinese airline is suing a passenger who allegedly threw coins into a jet engine for good luck. In East China earlier this month. The superstitious act, which ironically occurred on Lucky Air Flight, cost a low-cost area approximately $21,000 and affected more than 160 passengers. The 28-year-old man, who was identified by his surname Liu, admitted to tossing two one yuan coins at the passenger's jet's engines as he was boarding the plane on the tarmac. Ground staff found the coins by the plane's left engine, prompting officials to ground the flight due to security reasons before eventually canceling it altogether.
Whenever I've thrown good luck things into the engine while boarding a flight, they get upset.
Lou, who was traveling with his wife and one-year-old child, was detained for a week and now faces legal repercussions. The remaining passengers flew the following day after a full engine inspection. Now, somehow, this isn't the first time that a passenger has been detained after throwing coins at a Lucky Airjet engine.
This is a thing?
Previously, a 76-year-old woman was caught doing that just ahead of a flight. However, the woman was not charged in that incident. And in June of 2017, an 80-year-old woman prompted a four-hour delay when she chucked coins at a China Southern Airlines aircraft engine as well.
Wow. I mean, occasionally, won't you throw, like, dead geese into the engines?
I guess it's, like, you know, akin to a, throwing into a fountain or something
well,
like that.
Well, there is a tradition, by the way, and I've had it happen, where people, when you get a new car, they'll take a couple of coins and throw it into the car. That's a good luck thing.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess.
But not into the car's
engine. Not into an active jet engine.
Yeah. We throw this right into the carburetor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here, let me throw these coins in here. And your respirator.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put this in the distributor cap. Yeah, yeah. It's a 50-cent piece. Police in Van Buren, Arkansas are still scratching their heads over one of the most unusual arrests they said that they've made in years. On Thursday night, police received a call from an 18-year-old reporting underage drinking in his home by him.
He reported himself for underage drinking in his own home.
The officer said, basically, I guess he was intoxicated and called our office and said he was underage and drinking and he wanted to go to jail.
Hmm.
He said at first the responding officers were a little confused. They went to make contact, and when they went to the house, this guy, he actually came out of the apartment with his hands up.
Wow.
At that time, the officers didn't know that it was him or who called. They thought it was a neighbor. The officers asked what was going on, and he admitted to calling.
How underage was he?
He was 18.
Okay.
The officers wanted to give him a chance, so they said, you know, look, just stay in your apartment, don't drink, and you can go back in your house. He said, but I guess he wasn't having that. They actually gave him a chance to go back inside and sober up, but he refused. He said, I really need to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
The young man told officers he had been drinking after having a bad day. Police officers still can't figure out what prompted him to self-confess and turn himself in. The officer said he really wasn't even that drunk. It was like he wasn't wasted or anything.
He must have just felt bad, or just his guilt was overpowering.
He said it wasn't bad at all. The officers told him that in your house, underage drinking is not an issue. But with him refusing to go back in, the officers couldn't leave him wandering around outside. So they arrested him. They took him in because he insisted on it, and he was outside. The young man was charged with public intoxication, but the mystery behind self-confession remains a mystery. And we will wrap it up there. That's what I got in the B file. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment. We'll test your knowledge. Have you been paying attention? You've been listening to the show this morning. Ask a question that has to pertain to something that's said on the show. See if you can answer it correctly. We'll do the trash and music news, too. We'll be right back.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Lesson question. We're going to see if you paid attention today. And up for grabs, a four-pack of tickets to see Matchroom Boxing, March 15th at the Lear Corps Center. So the question today is, how long ago did they build the Grand Canyon?
It's true.
215-263-WMMR. How long ago did they start building the Grand Canyon? All right, according to us, we had the information for you. 215-263-WMMR. You may not have known they built that thing. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in, so good luck to you.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dunkin'. Girl Scout cookie-inspired flavors are back at Dunkin'. Enjoy $2 medium lattes and cappuccinos from 2 to 6 p.m. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth are rumored to be arguing over whether to raise a family in the U.S. or in his native Australia. The geographically misinformed Cyrus has told Hemsworth she's not interested in living out the Sound of Music.
Oh, my God.
Cops are not planning to release the graphic videos of Patriots owner Robert Kraft inside a Florida massage parlor. A spokesman for the Jupiter Police Department explained the decision, saying, no one wants to see an old guy get a hand job.
That's dude. Accurate.
And finally, Rob Kardashian and former girlfriend Blac Chyna have reached a custody settlement regarding their daughter Dream, saying there's now nothing but love. Blac Chyna loves having children with idiots, and Rob loves cake.
And that's your Hollywood show. All righty, we'll see how closely you've been paying attention. The question at hand is, how long ago did they build the Grand Canyon? And I will go to Sean for the answer. Hey, Sean.
Oh, you guys are office.
Thanks, oh, you're thank office, you, man. Buddy. I appreciate it. So, Sean, how long ago did they build the Grand Canyon?
100 years.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long. 100 years. Hang on, Sean. Since you got it right, we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to see Matchroom Boxing, and that is March 15th at Lee Corps Center. You can get tickets at leahcorpscenter.com. So do that thing. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, and I have a handful of stories. We'll begin with one about Chris Cornell. His doctor has denied they had anything to do with the rocker's tragic death, claiming that Cornell was properly advised about the dangers of the anti-anxiety medication that he was prescribed. Dr. Robert Coblin responded to the lawsuit filed against him by Cornell's widow, Vicky, last November. She sued the doctor for malpractice, accusing him of overprescribing drugs that eventually caused her husband to commit suicide. She and her two children, also named in the suit, are seeking unspecified damages. Coblin is asking that the wrongful death suit be dismissed. He's claimed that he's covered by a malpractice law that protects doctors when a death occurs as a result of a patient's ongoing disease or condition. The doctor added that he did everything in his professional capacity to help the singer, but that Chris also asked not to be informed of all the risks associated with taking anti-anxiety medication.
That seems very weird.
Yeah. Vicky claims in the suit that Colin prescribed 940 doses of lorazepam, a.k.a. Ativan, as well as oxycodone during the last 20 months of Chris's life without examining him, she says, or doing anything else to determine if her husband was in danger. According to the suit, the use of lorazepam, if not monitored, can increase the risk of suicide because it can impair the patient's judgment. So he's saying it's not his fault. We'll find out what the courts think about it. Three previously unreleased Green Day songs have been posted online called Jennifer, Stay, and Maybe Forever. The newly unearthed tunes date back to the late 1980s and were recorded at a show on July 22nd in 1989. In Berkeley, California, where the punk trio opened for Killdozer. These are the only known live performances of the songs.
You know, there was a movie called Killdozer. It was a made-for-TV movie.
Okay.
It was. It was one of my favorites growing up. It's horrible.
And were performed before the band had released its debut album, 1990's 39 Smooth. None of the songs have ever surfaced as a studio recording, and all three feature their original drummer, John Kiffmeyer. Coming on the heels of the new Led Zeppelin Van Halen, I'm sorry, the new Led Zeppelin Van sneakers are the new commemorative Eddie Van Halen high tops.
Wow.
The 78 high tops are the sixth set in the Eddie Van Halen sneaker collection that features red, yellow, and white high tops, red low tops, and red slip-on shoes, which I ordered this morning.
You did?
I did. And they all replicate the striped designs of Eddie's 1970s and 1980s guitar. So I got the red ones the Frankenstein was the name of that guitar. And they're $64.78. Kathy, $16 for shipping.
Oh, I was pretty pissed about that.
I want the shoes.
Oh, my God.
Did you see if they're on Amazon?
What if it's something you really want?
You got to do it then. You got to bite the bullet.
It's a toss-up. No, I don't know. I could have found you. I probably could have found you free shipping somehow.
I went ahead and did it because I knew I would forget about it later on. So I just.
Where did you order them?
Could you pick them out of a store or anything like that?
I did them through Eddie's website.
You did? Okay, so then you probably.
Eddie's website.
EddieVanHalenStore.com?
Yeah, EVH. Right.
What's
yeah.
the full name of it again, Preston?
What?
What is the name of the actual shoe? The
Well, they're by Vans, and they're the Eddie Van Halen, commemorative Eddie Van Halen.
We could have gotten your
I'm doing shoe. The slip-ons.
All right, Eddie Van Halen shoes.
We're looking at the pictures. One on the very bottom there, the red ones on the very bottom.
I see them,
the ones that I went to.
They got a bunch of different models for $64.78.
Yeah, these were $59.95, but then you add the, these weren't the high tops.
Kathy, what if they were $80 but free shipping? Would you then buy them?
Yeah, there you go. Right?
Well, you do have to look because if they are different, normally they're not going to price them differently, especially shoes like this. They're not going to be priced different in other spots. But yes, I'll look for that. Of course,
because I would fall for that immediately.
Wait, so I have to tell you, for some reason, it was an email that was sent to me weeks ago when you guys mentioned something about free shipping. And I was just kind of going through old emails and deleting. And so I looked at it, and it's this like an app or something that you put on your computer, no matter what website you're shopping on. If there is a coupon to be had, it automatically applies it.
Ooh. Are you kidding?
Yes.
That is awesome.
I know. And I was like, this must be too good to be true. And no, sure enough.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it. Yeah.
And I mean, tried it.
What?
It works?
Yes, it works.
All right.
Yeah, it'll tell you what the coupons are. And if you already have a coupon in there, it'll let you know if they have a better one or if the one that is already in your cart is the best coupon to use.
You want to give out the name?
That's making it too easy for you.
It's so easy. Hold on. Nick. Let me go to a shopping website.
You're not already at one?
No, right. I was looking up Eddie Van Halen shoes. Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
She had to leave a shopping house.
It is.
Well, I'm glad I got mine because they're pulling up the sizes and all the 11s are gone. Or no, there's still 11s. Most of the sizes are gone.
It's called Honey Gold.
Okay.
Honey Gold.
Honey
okay.
Gold.
Okay, all right, I'll check that out.
I'm going to go there right now.
Anyhow, those high tops and various styles are now available if you want the Eddie Van Halen shoes. You can get them, so I ordered them.
Very cool.
I don't know when they'll be in. And that's what I have in music news. Kathy, I need something else from you. I need a number caller for the secret text word. What are we going to take?
20.
All right, caller 20, 215-263-WMMR is the number. And let's see if you know that word. All right, because we got these tickets for Villanova and Butler on Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. We'll also grab a random text while we're gone. Come back in a moment. Get ready to wrap the whole thing up and give that prize away. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank you. Actually, I hit some notes that were in key by accident on that. Beast of Burden from the Rolling Stones, 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. Hey, 10:27 as we're about to wrap up today's program. But we were awaiting a call to give away a prize for the secret text word. And that was caller number 20 that Kathy was looking for. So let's go find him. I believe I have Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Mark, if you tell me the secret text word, I give you a prize. What is it?
Buckets.
Yes! Absolutely correct. And we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Villanova take on Butler on Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. So congratulations. All right, my man?
Thanks so much.
Yep, hang on a second. And you can get tickets at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. And we're also going to give away tickets to our random texter, who is Julianne Breischbiel, I think is how you say her last name. She's from Brookhaven, PA, so congratulations. Exact same thing. You're headed to the Wells Fargo Center and see the game this weekend.
This is your concession stand music, right, from your
this
movie theater?
This is Werenberg Theaters
in
St. Louis. And before the main feature would start, this song would come on. So you'd get all excited. Your movie's about to start.
Yes.
And then the big jingle part comes up at the end. Right here. There it is. So, thank you.
I love it, man.
I love that too. Anybody who I grew up with would totally get a kick out of it.
If you ever watched the original version of Grindhouse, which had both Planet Terror and the Kurt Russell stuntman driver, yeah. Lunatic. It was presented as a double feature in a grindhouse, and they had the transitional stuff and the concession stand music and all that stuff. It was
great.
I never
saw that movie.
So Planet Terror is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The Kurt Russell one, which should have been really good, which is the one that Tarantino directed, it's so chatty in the beginning before it gets to the stuff. And I love Tarantino dialogue, but sure. I'm like, enough already.
Okay.
So, Planet Terror was a lot of... Yeah, it's worth...
There's other movies we'd like for you to watch before that.
Okay.
Hell or High Water, Sing Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Wehrenberg Theaters around anymore, or is it done?
That is a good question.
Wehrenberg Theaters.
I don't think they're a chain anymore. I'm not really sure. But I'll have to check on that.
Maybe they're porn theaters now.
Thank you to Matt Fries and Fafa Picot, who are on the program from the Philadelphia Union. They play their home opener on Saturday against Toronto, 1 p.m. And it's a really cool event, so hopefully you'll get a chance to go see them. Also, we made an announcement earlier this morning. I only hit it one time. I'm sorry. I should have done it again. We are headed back to Clearwater for spring training, and this year, a sponsor behind us, Xfinity, is sponsoring the Preston and Steve trip down to FLA and Philly spring training. Cuckoo it is.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And we'll be broadcasting live on March 15th. So if you're going to be in the area and you're going to the game, right before the game starts, we will be at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion in left field. So you can come by and say hello. The gates to Spectrum Field open at 10:30 a.m. The Phils take on the Blue Jays at 1:05. Tickets are available at Phillies.com. And we will be. We had such a great time last year that we're looking forward to doing it again this year.
You feel right at home because everyone there is right from home.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah. How you doing, Pierre?
Fine. We're going to Clear Renner, Florida.
Clear Renner, Florida.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun.
Always watch the boys in blue play football.
We're going to watch our boys in blue take on those devious bastards and kick their asses right out of the hockey rink.
Devious bastards.
The Toronto devious bastards.
That's right, the TDB.
Well, they were just asking for it with that name.
Yep.
You ever smoke some TDB?
Oh, yeah. Had some this morning.
Sprinkled it right on your hash.
Put it right in the coffee, and you're just feeling no pain whatsoever.
TDB.
TDB, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Gadzooks.
So you're going to TCB today with the gang?
H-Y.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I should just get right to the letter so we can do that. You ready?
H-Y.
Yes. Y-E-A-H.
Yeah.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
He's in one of those moods today. All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in racy.
All righty, and that's an R, so we got two more to go, and then we're going to give away four tickets to see WWE Live Saturday night at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino, Atlantic City, plus two hotel rooms for the night. Come to the Legends of the Ring Friday night at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino when Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair are going to discuss the WWE. And then on Saturday, WWE Live takes over Atlantic City at the Hard Rock. You can get tickets at Hard Rock Hotel, AtlanticCity.com. What is going on today's program, man?
We're going to have some fun. We got cool tickets again for Bob Weir, and that's March 8th at the Met. We got Korn, Alice in Chains tickets for August over in Camden. We've got Workforce Blocks of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chris Martin's birthday is coming up this weekend. We'll, for once, be early and do a Workforce Block of Coldplay today.
Nice.
And it'll be fun. Yeah, I love that band.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many great songs. And I have not done another block I haven't done in a while. I had a letter for, and I would like to honor and acknowledge the great Stray Cats.
Oh,
we'll have some fun with that.
Love the Stray Cats.
Great.
Yes, absolutely.
MMR presented them at a little club on Chestnut Street, long gone. What was it called? East Side Club.
Mm-hmm.
When they first came out, and I still have the T-shirt.
They brought sort of at the height of the alt movement. They brought rockabilly back and made it part of the alt movement.
Exactly.
Brian Setzer is a great guitar player.
Yep.
A lot of people don't realize how well he can play.
And his orchestra, when he's not doing that, is something entirely cool, too.
Yep.
He loves that big band swing sound. So he's very talented in a number of directions.
Cool, man. All right. Hang out with Pierre. I am going to thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. Also, Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can use any of their 1,600 locations nationwide anytime you want. And also the Atlantic City Boat Show, February 27th, so today through March 3rd, at the Atlantic City Convention Center, acboatshow.com. Tomorrow on the program, our buddy Richard Curtis is getting in touch to talk about his show, Clash Room.
It's good news.
We have comedian Martin Norman stopping by the studio, and comedian Ali Sadiq. Or is it Ali Sadiq?
Ali
Sadiq, I believe, in studio. So we'll have those crew and more on the program tomorrow. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you.
Hate you.
line.
You know, it's already hard enough being one of few women in a mostly male workplace, but you guys don't also have to be pricks.
Next message.
I want the cardboard classic to happen. Give me the cardboard classic!
Next message.
So tell me something. If you're never going to meet me for dinner, what the f*** was supposed to happen? I'm supposed to cover for you, your coworker, and I'm supposed to be happy about that and do it for nothing? What the f***?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.